Oh, Helmut and Adwaita, yeah. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That was a mistake, that one, guys. That one was a mistake. Surely. Good evening to you, my beloved. How are you guys doing? My name is The Matriarch, and I am your host for this evening and every other evening, unless I delegate somebody else to take over so that I can maybe go and chill. I don't know. What do hot girls do in their free time? To go and do hot girl things, and it is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pulling Heartstrings, where we are addressing the elephant in the room. And for this week, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be having talk therapy. It is going to be a series of very tough conversations, right, that we are going to be having with a series of people. But for tonight, it's just you and I, okay? It's just us. And tonight, we're going to be talking about surviving sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about this one, but in the light of children. So we're not talking about you as an individual that has been sexually assaulted. We are talking about what happened when you were, if you were sexually assaulted when you were younger, what happened in the family dynamics. We're talking about the family. We're talking about parents. We're talking about what you're going through, what you went through and still going through. And we are talking about that. So the reason that we are calling it talk therapy is because we are allowing expression. We are allowing expression. We are asking questions. We are engaging. So please, if you know a little bit, you must share. If you know just kancane phela, just share. If you know kaniki, just share. Even if you are surprised, just come through. Ladies and gentlemen, this show in itself is an interactive conversation. It is an interactive show. It is a show where you come forward and I come forward and we put everything on the table so that we can somehow, right, reach the masses. We can also pukuruka. We can also step into a new horizon. We can be that we want to be. And this is the aim of this show. The aim of this show is really honestly to appeal to your emotional side, to appeal to your sensitive side, to appeal to your tough side, to appeal to your resilience, to appeal to your brain, to appeal to your heart, your body, your spirit, your soul, to appeal to your ancestors, your maker, to appeal. We are putting these conversations out here because these conversations in themselves are not the easiest of conversations, but we are going to have these conversations in true brutality style because, we need to have these conversations. And part of the conversations that we've had this week, our first episode was with, Zenobia, who is a widow. And our second episode was with Aina, who was wronged by someone she loved, you know. And we are talking about this because there are some sayings that are said and there are some experiences that are shared that stick with us forever. And they stick with us. And I will not forget the first show with a widow, you know, because everybody pictures marriage. Everybody pictures the party. Everybody pictures living happily ever after. Everybody pictures getting old together. But what if that's not the dynamic for you? It was such an eye opener. It was one of those conversations that also led us to start thinking about the will, to start thinking about policies. You know, if your spouse dies today, can you bury them? Just a thought. If your spouse dies today, and there is no money coming from nowhere, are you capable of burying them? And these are questions that you need to ask yourself, because many of us are living in La La Land and we are smitten, we are in love, we are taking it one step at a time, and we are doing all these I would love to call it immature. I would love to call it that, but apparently I can't do that, you know. Wink wink. I would say that many of us don't want to step into the element of growth. And especially when it comes to death, death is viewed as a taboo. Death is viewed as an unspoken thing that happens to all of us. But we never expect it to be us. So we say, live today like it's your last, but don't live it like it's your last. It has to be in the middle of it's your last and it's not your last. You do everything emotionally that is, to represent the last, you know, and you do everything physically to represent that you'll still be here tomorrow. And then we hope for the best tomorrow. Do you know that some people go to bed and they don't wake up and that's it? You know, ever since I've been diagnosed with blood pressure, part of my fear is going to bed and dying in my sleep. So the time that I drink my pills is before I go to bed, so that whatever dream I'm having is not going to scare me and kill me. Eh? Whatever visions I'm having is not going to scare me and kill me. Heart attack. Eh? And I'm just sleeping there like, wow, 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 wow. You know? And I know we can't fear everything and we can't live in fear, but it is definitely, it's definitely something I'm battling with, or I'm thinking about. It's not necessarily a battle, but I am really honestly thinking about it. So that's why I take them at that time. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. When I chila from here, I go and I take my pills so that, you know, when I go to bed, I can guarantee that I'll wake up in the morning because my blood pressure won't be skyrocketing in my sleep where I cannot notice it. Ah, anyhow, anywho. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, child sexual assault. And the reason that I chose to talk about this is because I heard a very disturbing story, but the dynamics of the story in itself today was so catastrophic and it was unbelievable, especially, considering the fact that we live in contemporary times. We live in a society that frowns upon such things, and, we expect a lot of emotion from people, especially when your child has been violated, you know? We expect emotion. We expect mother to be screaming. We expect father to be looking for a gun to go and shoot someone. And it's not what we want, but even if father was going to go out that way, we would understand it because we expect it, because your child is your child and you want the best for your child, and somebody has harmed your child. It's just like somebody beating your child. It's not a bad thing, but like, no, it's a bad thing. Yeah. And it's basically the same. So we are expecting this, and we are expecting anger. We're expecting tears. We're expecting emotion. We're expecting the whole house to be turned upside down, left, right, and center. We expect a manhunt to go after the person that did this, heinous crime. We expect, you know, the whole society to, the whole community to rally behind the parents. We expect true sympathy and sincerity within the voices of the people. We expect that. We expect protests. We expect marches. We expect every stone to be left turned. Yeah, it must turn. Okay. And this is what we expect. And even if we say that we don't put tragedies on the front page, I think that because we have become so sensitive and so emotional when it comes to media, for example, I understand why our media practitioners put such things on the front page, like 3-year-old was raped, you know, or 10-year-old was raped, or 6-year-old was raped. I understand. I think it's coming from a part where it is more of a warning that this is serious. That is why it's on the front page. This is serious because it's a pandemic. This is serious. And, by reading through this article, maybe if you ever thought about doing it to another person, it would stop you. Or you can say that, take care of your children, because this happens to children as well. And many of us expect, right? I recently heard a story where there's this particular guy, right? And this guy was a childhood associate to best friend, or somebody that they know, you know, when you guys grow up in the same place. And this particular gentleman is the manliest of manliest. And he is, he was busy, you know, he was busy looking for a few things. And, we bumped into him, and, best friend was like, no, let me just take you to where you're going because it's the same direction. And, you know, he was telling us about what he's looking for and how he's going to go about it and all of that. So that was the brief encounter. I think I've met him twice or three times, but it was a brief encounter. That's, I know his face. I know him. And just, I think it was the day before yesterday, the story comes out or my personal person tells me that, oh no, you remember him? Yeah, you remember, Bone Thug, you know? Yeah, he's incarcerated. And I'm like, okay, so what happened? And it's sodomy. Like literally sodomy. That is the charge. Sodomizing, raping. So he sexually violated another man. And for me, it's like, I feel like we are so free in this country. We are so free to be whatever we want to be. We are so free to be whoever we want to be. If we want to be gay, we can be gay. Even if people don't like it, we can still be gay. If we want to be straight, we can be straight. If we want to be monogamous, we can be monogamous. If we want to be chronic cheaters, we can be anything we want to be. As long as we can face the consequences, some of the consequences of being gay, for example, or being a lesbian or transgender or whatever you identify as, but non-binary, it would be that, that you can, as long as your rights don't come and step all over mine, you can be whatever you want to be. So for me, it was a shock because we live here. We don't live in a country where we are stoning them to death. We don't live in a country where we are going to burn their houses at night. We come from a country where, your community might stigmatize you. Your community might diss you, but there's always another community that's willing to accept you. You are not homeless in terms of camaraderie or community, because your particular community is there. If you are gay, if you are straight, your straight community is also here. If you are in the middle, the bisexual community is also there. So I don't understand why him as a grown up, right? If he wanted to have a gay experience or a man on man experience, I think that he should have just looked for somebody that would have given him consent. And it's just the same as I really don't understand those that sexually violate, women in terms of, or women or men actually, because everybody is, you are up for grabs. Like literally everybody is doing things to anybody. So it's not just the girls that are getting raped. It's the boys that are getting raped, just like this particular story, you know? And, If you would like to go and sleep with a woman, you know, for the night, you know, they are outlets. It's not that it's legal, but it's there. Right? And also, I believe that getting boom boom is actually quite simple in this country. You don't even have to be wealthy to say that, oh no, it's only rich guys that are getting some. No. Everybody gets some. I've seen this. There's this drunk couple that walks around in Windhoek City. The lady has like an injured arm. Like, I don't know what they call what she has, but, she has like an injured arm, like, so it's small. And then the guy also has an injury somewhere. I'm not sure about his injury, but I know that it's two injured people that love each other and they're in a relationship. Now, I've seen these people for the past 10 years. Even those two are giving each other action. So what about you that is now not in their circumstances? And I'm not saying that because they have an injury, they are more likely to not get some. I'm talking about they are in a full-blown relationship. Eh? And they are loving on each other regardless of their circumstances or situations. I think they live under a bridge somewhere or something like that, but they're loving on each other. So what about you? Even if you don't want love and you just want pata pata, it is quite easy to get. You don't have to steal it. You don't have to violate somebody. You know, and that's why I was so shocked. I was shocked because this is a gentleman that he's not bad, like at all. He's not bad. I'm sure there's somebody there that's just looking at him like, wow, forget that. And we do. We as women, we as people that are attracted to other people, we do look. We look at you and we're like, wow, if that guy just pull up on some old school Bobby and his whole crew, we set it off like, baby, we will come through. The game got us all shook, doing what you won't do. If you ain't got at least a couple fans, then you ain't cool. We don't bite. We don't bark. Only when they bite rhymes. All this, got nine lives. And they my hip hop, no? Okay, cool. So for me, it was a shock, but it is what it is. So I'm looking at our society and I'm thinking that in all honesty, those that do these things, I feel that it's unorthodox. I feel that it is unnecessary. Not unless, right? You were told by your nganga somewhere that this is what you have to do. And then you do it. It's still bad. So I'm particularly talking about our black community. I'm talking about, us. And I don't know anything about other communities. You know, I don't know anything about being an Afrikaans girl. I don't know anything about being a Puerto Rican girl. I know about being a Ndonga girl or being a Bandaru girl, and that's the best I can do. And being a Namibian chick, that's the best I can do. So I'll talk about it from my own perspective or from my own cultural perspective per se. So I want to know, we as black people in our households, right? How do we handle child sexual abuse? How do we handle it? Do we hush it under the carpet? Do we give leeway to the perpetrator? Do we take these children to therapy? What do we do? So that is basically the question for tonight. What do we do as African or as Namibian families to prevent or to heal from child sexual assault? Because I feel that, especially amongst my people, I feel that child sexual assault is a crime that goes unpunished depending on the family. When it is punished, it is punished to some degree. Because I believe that if we go through the whole court system and this person gets there 15 years and they go and sit for this, but we never talk about it, then what? I also feel that we as people, or we as black people, we as Awambo people, we as us, Namibians, right? I feel that we sweep this under the rug so bad that we are trying to suffocate the memory of this traumatic experience happening in the child, in the victim, in the survivor's mind. That is why you can find Kuku, after she figures out that this has happened to you, Kuku just heals you at home. You don't go to the hospital. You don't go for a rape kit. You don't go for nothing. Kuku just heals you at home. And it's just and then you put in a few herbs here and there. And then she just basically drapes your body in herbs and cleanses you and tumbas you and basically puts you back together. And never talks about it. There are no explanations as to what just happened to you. And there are no explanations or even sympathies as to how you are going to continue. Most of them give you the advice of ikwatanawa. They say you must take care of yourself, right? Taking care of yourself is basically you not getting into trouble in terms of sex trouble. Sex trouble can be the boyfriend. It can be putting yourself in a situation where somebody, now comes and violates you. And that is it. That is what I've seen. I feel like so many of our parents and grandparents have all gone through sexual violation, but you will not hear about it. It is the same as our mothers and foremothers that have gone through miscarriages, but you never hear about it. You hear about dead children. You hear about dead children if they were a particular age, and this particular age is called a person, like in terms of like on torera. So if you are below 5, you were just a child, you were just a baby. But if you were above that, then maybe they will commemorate you, they will speak of you like you were really here. But if you were lower than that, it's like, you know, I had this other child. And then this child passed away. And sometimes you never even hear about it at all, especially if it was a miscarriage, for example. Nobody talks about it. And then you go through your miscarriages and you have nobody to talk to because your parents don't have the experience for that. But actually they do, but they keep everything to themselves. I feel that we have a culture of secrecy. And that kind of culture is the same reason that we are all going wild out here, where we are depressed, we are suicidal, we are not coping, and we are not managing. And it's because everybody has a tendency of keeping quiet. Now, I don't understand where this silence comes from, because are we supposed to be carrying the shame and the guilt of the perpetrator as a family? Or are we supposed to shame the devil? Speak the truth and shame that, and put the devil to shame. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Because when I think of it, I can say that there are so many people that have been sexually violated by family members, and there's not been a case opened. Nothing has ever happened to the person that did anything, and they are still coming to parties. There was a young lady that decided one day that she's going to wake up. I think it was one of our callers. I think it was one of our callers that came to tell us this about her niece or something. She came and then she told us that her niece had been troubled, and when she was just troubled in terms of like just troubled. She's angry. She's frustrated. She's always alone. She's like, you can see that this is a troubled person. So one day her niece woke up and she decided that she is going to burn her uncle. It's now a young uncle, the uncle that stays back, baby, you know, the care of the family, that guy. And he's still at home with his mom and whatever. So she just woke up one day and took gasoline and she burned the whole house down. She burned her uncle's room. Because it was so early in the morning, she thought he was there. So she set it on fire, friend. And she thought he was dead, just for him to walk through. And that's when she just lost it. She lost it. And then, a switch went off, and she had temporary insanity, where she was not going through temporary insanity. She was basically just it boiled over, and she ran wild. You know, she ran and she was speaking and she was crying and she was not making sense, and she was making sense. But she was not making sense to the people that she was telling, because the people that she was telling were basically in the background pretending that they don't know it's happening. Now, I think that that's the worst, when I know you know what's happening to me, and I know that you know that this is not right, and yet you allow it to keep happening, or you pretend like you don't know what I think you know and what I know you know about my situation. And I feel like that's the ultimate betrayal. So ladies and gentlemen, if you guys would like to participate in our conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. Remember that this is a safe space. You are safe. You are loved. You are important. And we are taking care of you. I just need you guys. I need us to let a few things off our chests. I need us to talk. I need you guys to come and tell stories. I need you guys to inspire and encourage other people. We can't be living in a world where we are not inspiring one another. We're not motivating one another. We're not participating in each other's lives as if we don't matter. I don't want us to keep receiving Because you guys are out there, you guys are receiving, you guys are listening, and you're like, oh, she's talking the truth. But you guys say nothing. You guys are just on the other side. You guys are quiet. You guys say nothing, but you guys know a lot. Eh? I can't be the only one that knows this much. If I know this much, imagine what you know. You know? So we're talking about this. We're talking about this from a cultural perspective. We're talking about this from a societal, perspective, and we're talking about it from the perspective of a country. I believe that sexual assault in itself is one of the worst. It's right next to murder. For me, it's right next to murder. Like, you can't do that to somebody because it's like killing.
I was raised in the mainstream culture where
it's like killing somebody's.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Get
of its
social
staff.
With us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM, let's you express.
Alrighty. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so sorry about the hiccups there. We are two on the screen. We are two on the screen. Alrighty. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking. We are talking. We are doing talk therapy, and it is just a way of us talking about it. So how do we as black people or Africans view sexual assault? Do we view it as something that somebody is going to get over it later? It doesn't matter. It's just sexual assault. Because I've heard people say that. I've heard you guys say that. I've heard time and time again that she's just gonna grow out of it. Like, you speak of this something that is happening to somebody, right? That has no way of fighting back and can't fight back out of fear or flight or fright mode when something traumatic is happening. And you are telling me that they're going to grow out of it and they're going to forget about it. So if somebody is sexually violated when they're 3 years old and you tell me that no, they're going to grow out of it. Like, is this shoes? Are these shoes that we are going to grow out of? I feel that many of us, our Wambo people, think that burying things is the appropriate way to go. I feel like we don't address nothing. We don't talk about nothing. We leave things. How many of you guys sit within a family? Not unless it is your parents that passed away and you guys are sitting there talking about your parents. Not unless it's that one. But how many of you guys actually talk about the serious things that has happened in your clan, in your Ezimo, in your childhood, in your anything? How many of us actually sit down, right, without creating a fuss or without being drunk and sit and talk about your... Do you remember when I was 10 years old and you beat me until I woke up in ICU? How many of you guys talk like that? We don't. We pretend like your childhood was rosy and that is why you are the way you are. You know, some people, especially within families, right? They make you think that you are just like that. So let's say now you're 3 years old, darling, and you get sexually violated and you have careless parents. So let's say you have a careless mother, and that is why I always tell you people, especially you people that glorify women. You people glorify women to the extent that you can't see what they are doing. You can't see what they are about. You can't see the bad that they can do, because I mean, it's a woman. Women are mothers. They are our mothers. They are our nurturers. They are phenomenal. They are great. There are some women that are not meant to be mothers. They just have uteruses, and these uteruses carry children as incubators, and they come into, like, they let these children come into the world and they don't protect them. They don't shield them. And I know that you are out there thinking, which, yeah, but sometimes it's not the mother's fault or it's not the father's fault. And it just happened because you trusted somebody. And I get that. I understand that narrative as well, because sometimes you're a spectacular mother and something like this still happens to your baby. Sometimes you're a spectacular parent, grandparent, and something like this still happens to your baby. It makes you question your religion. It makes you question your God. Kucha, if God was there, then why didn't he block this monster from doing such things? You know, it makes you question that. And with all the conversations that I've had with so many people that have been in this, on this particular table, right? That is a question that popped up. Kucha, if God is there, like, how did he let this happen? You understand? I didn't let this happen. Like, I don't know. How did you let this happen? This was not supposed to happen, you know? And that is one way to look at it. And it's absolutely correct for you to feel that way. But I think that if we are going to be addressing a thing, a subject matter so sensitive like child sexual assault, right? Can we talk about how we as black people, how we as Africans, how we as Namibians, right? How we deal with conflicts amongst our families, how we deal with ills amongst our clan. How do we deal with it? Because I know, right? There's nobody that is talking in anybody's house. From all I know, it's just smoke, tini na tini na tini na ti, tini na ti, tini na ti. It's just smoke everywhere, but you can't see the fire. Everybody is just, oh, ngeno, omaudi gogari agatina andora, omwitho watina rakeje pamwe kapuna, egumbo karino maudi gugago, ampopi omaudi gugeninga. Like, that's the question. Do you guys talk about your difficulties? Or are you guys just here condemning people to live with realities that they're not supposed to be carrying by themselves? How do we deal with it? Do we talk about it? Do we address anything? And on the subject of women, not every single woman deserves to be a mother. They are there. Stop believing that they are not there. Some of us even pretend, you know, some of us, we pretend that our mothers are perfect. We pretend that our mothers have always been there because they bought shoes and they bought clothes and also they paid for the school, right? We think that our parents, our mothers were there, but in actual fact, she was most probably a mean lady. Eh? Everybody's mother is apparently perfect. She was most probably a mean lady. She was most probably an exorcist. Yeah, every single time you were in her presence, it was like she was performing an exorcism on you because you are a demon child. You are a bad child. You are the worst thing that could have possibly happened to her. And she doesn't believe that you are her child. And these are the words that you were thrown. And these were thrown by the person that birthed you and brought you here that you didn't apply for. Yeah? And you have the audacity to look at me today and say that, yeah, my mother was amazing. Of course, you would think that because you come from a black culture. And black culture doesn't talk about the truth. We all hide it. We are all under this thing of, and nobody is perfect. Usually people that say nobody is perfect are people that have made mistakes that it's not even a mistake. It is something that they did intentionally. And now they want to cover it up by putting a fact. Right? That no human being is perfect, putting it on the table for you to digest so that you can forgive them for whatever they have done to you, because apparently nobody is perfect, but there are just certain things that we as people should know. We should know that violating another human being is bad. Cutting a child's life short is bad. Raping children, raping people is bad. Killing others is bad. It is condemned upon. No matter which religion you serve, it all says the same thing. You would not like it, so don't do it to others. You would hate this, so don't do it to others. That's the same thing that it practices. But yet, we're out here, and we are doing this. So if you guys can answer me that one, Kucha, how do we as black people, or Vambu people, Damara people, Mbaja people, Lozi people, Suvia people, Chokwe people, how do we, Kavangos, how do we as a people Heroes, how do we as a people, the embers, how do we as a people deal with conflict amongst our families? And how do we address child sexual assault in our families? Because for the most part, I see. Good evening.
Yes, Maitreya, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. A little bit angry, but I'm fine. What's up?
Why are you angry?
Ah, you know I'm always angry.
don't be angry. It's almost near to my
fence. You'll
be happy very soon.
I think it's that one. I think it's that one. You know, there's this little demon that comes these 5 days from the 25th until the 30th.
Yeah.
That demon comes and then just everything that you're thinking about is just making you angry.
Then you're having a lot of nice plan.
Oh. And then the day comes and then you just decide you're going to buy clothes. Like what? Like I thought we had a budget.
And they're going to the window show.
Hey, my dear, let me take my key. When is it starting?
I had maybe this is the end of this month until the 4th.
Oh, okay. Even me, probably. Next week Sunday is me.
Are you a man?
Yeah.
Oh, what a good name.
Next week Sunday is me, my dear. So,
So
I wanted to ask, Tete G. I wanted to ask, we as black people, we as Awambo people, how do we as a family or as a community deal with child sexual assault? Yes.
The problem with us,
we
don't like writing.
We don't like writing,
We don't have even a sex offender in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who violate other people, right?
Yes.
Left from starting maybe when they are not even yet a teenager,
mm-hmm.
they already start mustering other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Until they are adults, they're having a lot of
mustering. Wait, English. Mustering.
Oh yeah, I shall
molesting, man.
Molesting. Oh wow,
At least you tried.
Go and maybe you bring something in the village.
Mm-hmm. So how do we do it? So we say that sex offenders, we don't have that principle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we support every record of them.
Mm.
And we let the people away.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now these things are happening even in the household.
Mm.
And some of them, you know that this person was not the whole time we were around.
Mm-hmm.
And we never. It's like we try to protect them.
Yeah, that is the one that I'm talking about, Kucha. I think, ne?
Mm-hmm.
We like to protect evil people.
Exactly.
Even the thief, ne? We want to protect the thief. We want to protect the child molester. We want to protect the rapist. We want to protect the everything.
Now they are saying corruption.
Yeah, the corrupt. We have a tendency, but why? 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 Let's go there by why, darling. Why? Why?
No,
is it because they are also our family?
We take it as like a normal.
Mm.
It's like it can happen anytime. You know the way that we are tracking the Kavango.
Mm.
This is like anything happening about food poison is like always in Kavango. That is it.
You know. Because every year we have a fatality there.
We have to wait for that news to come.
Mm.
And they're wondering even like, why never said, at least maybe they'll repent now.
Mm.
Something not happened for the past 6 months.
Mm.
Then boom, something come out. It's like that.
Mm.
But the issue is that that way, I think it's just how can I put it? It's a syndrome which we have
mm.
with us. Because the moment you think just like when you are having people like, you know, you know that we judge people even like, you know, akavangwalian.
Yeah.
Eh, akwanyamo veshano, aninganuka mwenga. What do
you call? Akwambuhi no shintoko.
Yeah.
You cannot trust.
No. You know, you don't trust them.
Yeah, you can't trust them, even if you're in love with them.
I don't know. But not everybody is like that.
Yeah.
And usually, not all of them are like, you say, no, Angajela, they are fifth. But not all of Angajela, we have pastors who are from Angajela. Things that we just, that we, until you know the person, inside and out, is where you realize, I was judging you. But you didn't know, because you just said. But if the thing which is happening when it comes to this sex offender, is that we don't keep a record. That's the problem we have in Namibia.
But even like okay, that. but with that record, right? Let's talk on that one a little bit, right? The record issue. I think that it's actually brilliant for us to have the whole idea of keeping record of sex offenders, especially if they are moving into our societies and they are moving into our neighborhoods. They are the teachers, they are the what, because somebody is a sexual offender there in Nakuleka, there in Nakuleka, and then he just gets a job in Ochimbingwe.
Yeah.
Eh. When nobody knows his history.
So nice.
Even no matter how hot it is, because it touches kids. But anyways, so I think that with that one, the reason that we don't have it, publicized like that. I think there is a record, but it's not the same way as the Americas and so forth. I think the reason that it's not publicized like that is because apparently human rights, would say, check out, human rights would say that, us passing this out is a violation of that individual's human right to not be discriminated against according to what they have done in the past. Then we look at the justice system where we would say that somebody has been convicted. They have served their time. They have been what? Rehabilitated. So there is no reason for them to be segregated or to be apartheid, because of something that they did in the past. So I think that our system there is having this forgive and forget type of thing where we keep it in the records, but we are not going to plaster your face with it. We're not going to warn anybody about you, because it is your right to live. It's your right to live a normal life. Because because this is the part where the law might contradict itself, right? If we had now a system where all sex offenders had to notify neighbors and places like that, what would happen would now be a thing of them fighting with correctional facility, because correctional facility is not a dungeon. Correctional facility is a rehabilitation center.
But the way it is,
it is. I'm telling you that correctional facility.
Why is the Honorable Shangala complaining about it?
No, Honorable Shangala. Honorable.
And was a minister of justice.
Honorable is complaining about the living conditions, right? Because he is honorable.
Now we're talking about rehabilitation.
But where they are is not even, it's not even necessarily to say that, they are in the system. So they still have pleasantries and luxuries even that other people are not even getting. You understand? So, when I say rehabilitation center, it is because, the correctional facility is, right? It is designed to rehabilitate. That's what it is.
Because if it was not a rehabilitation center, it would be against human rights to have a center of that nature. You understand?
No. Okay.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
No. Let me tell you one thing.
But do you hear what I'm saying, Tata G?
I understand.
What did I say? I don't trust men anymore.
I don't need to repeat.
I don't trust men anymore. I don't trust you people anymore. You guys all say that I hear you and understand what you are saying. And then the next words that are going to come out of your mouth is exactly what I just explained now, meaning that you didn't hear.
No. Okay. What do you say, The prison is supposed to be rehabilitation center.
It is supposed to be a rehabilitation center because it is against. It is against human rights to keep somebody in captivity. Not unless you are putting them in captivity to rehabilitate them. Legally. No. I'm saying the legal stance. That's why the correctional facility is not, right? It is not a center where we send our mischievous, bad people of society to go and live there in isolation. No.
Yeah.
It is a center where we are going to try and rehabilitate you. And that is why when somebody gets a life sentence, right? This shows that the rehabilitation that we have to do for this person, right, is a rehabilitation process that will take longer than this person's life expectancy. So they are going to die in prison because they are unrehabilitatable in life.
Exactly.
We are going to keep fighting to rehabilitate them, but the way it looks here, it's not going to happen.
Now.
Yeah.
Let me come in. You know, Elizabeth, the problem where it is.
Mm.
Where I'm saying our corrections facility is not really a rehabilitation center.
Mm.
Because
speaking of it from a what it's supposed to be. I'm not saying it's actually like that.
No. let me tell you, I'm speaking from correction. I mean experience.
You're a criminal. Hey, young thug.
No. I went there because of the ticket.
But that one is custody. It's different.
No,
that's not the correctional facility. That's custody.
Listen, how can you put him in custody with a waiting trial of murder and nobody?
He's innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, Elizabeth.
He's innocent until proven guilty.
But okay, now. You are not
above the law.
When you put me together there, are you not waiting for me to go and do this? What these guys they are talking about? What their history is?
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? You are innocent until proven guilty. We can't put you in a place. We can't separate you guys.
No.
It's not right. Listen, I'm not saying that it is correct. Right?
Yeah.
I'm saying what it legally means, the aspect of it, right? I'm not saying that it's morally correct. I'm saying that until you prove that I killed this person, right? I must be treated like I am innocent. And innocent people are not put in isolation simply because we are faker or they are accused of it. So just because you got a ticket for drinking and driving doesn't mean that you must go to a white collar holding cell.
No, because you can't just put me there.
I can put you there.
I will put you there. Now you are.
I will put you there because according to the law say.
Who committed a murder?
Tara, according to the law, that person did not commit murder. No, that person is innocent until proven guilty. You must first have a fair trial. Because also, you might be saying, that person that you went in with, right, committed murder, and you are terrified of them because they committed murder. But the thing is that, until they go to court, and some evidence is even shown there.
What have you done?
Yeah.
This one is talking about,
I raped
me because I murdered somebody. This one is like, no, you, this, Listen, it was my girlfriend, man. And I was saying I'm elected. Yeah. And this one is like, I, this guy. They just
and you are like, I, traffic ticket.
I'm even scared of to say.
Now you also have to up. You have to also up up your crime now, because I am housebreaking.
You'll be dead. You'll be dead. That I'm telling you, Mucha.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be separated.
No, you, if you separate, right? Then I am going to sue the police.
Serious?
Yes. If you separate us, we need to change them because yeah,
we need to change those laws because that is sweet.
I understand, but the thing is that imagine now picture this. And your wife have an argument there at your house, right?
Yeah.
And your argument gets a little rowdy. It gets loud. And then, I don't know, your wife is having such a bad day that day. Not even that. It gets worse than that. Your wife is having, because you know your wife. Your wife is not violent. Your wife is not a person to take out anything, but she's having such a bad day. Nani ontwara enda with something on her heart that you have done to her and you have not apologized for it. And then somebody out there also made her mad, right?
Yeah.
So you guys are having an argument. It's back and forth. Now that particular day, the kids are not there. The kids are gone to holiday to their grandparents. So it's just you and your wife. So naturally what happens with couples, right, is when there's nobody in the house, the argument starts going into the house. Meaning you guys start walking around, following each other, talking.
Yeah.
That is, it's automatic. When the children are not there, right? You use the whole house as a battlefield.
You are free.
Because when the kids are there, you don't want to traumatize them. You heard from Maitreya Kucha, trauma. So now you don't want to traumatize the kids.
They learn from the best even.
So you are like, well,
even they are not showing you what is it.
Exactly. So now you guys are alone at home and the argument is getting, and it's getting worse. And you want the argument to stop, right? And she just keeps going. She keeps going. And she just turns into this person that you don't recognize your wife. And you've been with your wife for over like maybe 20 years now. Ne?
Yeah.
And you don't know this person. Nani, kabesa non trabalho that day.
Yeah.
Then she decides she's going to slap you.
Yeah.
Eh?
For
the first time in your whole, like, you know, when you picture your wife is a very quiet somebody. my sweet baby that wants to go home 5 minutes in the party. You are beating men. And then she slaps you, right? But then, let's say, right? You get shocked, but it's not the kind of shocked where you are just standing there. It's the shock with reflex.
Yeah.
So she hits you, Mangare, her hand is not even off your face, ne? You have already slapped her back.
Yeah.
She falls to the ground. She has a runny nose. Because Nani, you beat her in the face and then it just, now it's a runny nose. Now it's blood. Yeah? She's having a nosebleed. Yeah? And then she gets up and then she says, yeah, you see, you are abusing me and you are what and you are what and you are what, you know? And you're like, yeah, but you are the one that beats me first. Because in that moment, right? Not unless you are sent from Jesus. Ne? Nobody in that moment says, Kucha, no, but my wife, I'm so sorry. And what. It's very difficult for you to go down to the person that started first and apologize so that you can, you have to be made out of steel. And we applaud those that do. So at this point, you're like, no, Mara, oh, Vewata make it, like, you guys are going back and forth. Then she gets up. Mind you, ne? That she's having a nose that is bleeding.
Yeah.
So this bleeding nose, ne? She's holding it. And the blood is running on her hand. And then it's also dripping onto the ground. And then it's running all the way here in front. Right?
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, onkota, Not unless it's one of those oka nkota hair where it's not provoked, but onkota wa provoking wa oha wenderere. So now that's blood, right?
Yeah.
You see how the sin just goes dangerous, right? Very dangerous. Like it's so stupid, this argument. You don't, at this point, you don't even remember what you guys were fighting about. But now there's blood. There's a runny nose. And then your wife decides that you want to kill her. Yeah. And then she goes to the kitchen. She grabs a knife. This is your innocent wife of 20 years.
Yeah.
You are shocked. Yeah. You are shocked beyond. And she goes to get the knife. You run after her. You take the knives off. You say, stop those things. Eh? Ano shikwashike. You understand. And at this point, right, she knows the way you keep the gun. She goes into the room. She goes and gets the gun. And she's pointing it. And you taught her how to cock the gun. You taught her everything about the gun to defend herself. Eh? I'm telling you. Now you are running for dear life, but hold the line. Hold the line.
Yeah, ne. You know when you know what you want, but you're not sure either.
What do you mean?
Like, I know I want to study next year, ne? But I'm so conflicted when I think about the field I want to get into. Sometimes I lean more into business, you know, the money. But other times, I really want to get into IT because it's like a passion thing.
Yo, there's a lot you need to think about. But at least NASC gives you the option to choose two programs that you'd like to study. And you can just make your final decision come registration.
Really? Do tell.
The NAST applications are officially open for 2026. So don't walk, my brother. You must run to NAST and apply today.
Check out the 2026 prospectus at www.nast.na. Namibia University of Science and Technology. Reinventing the future.
Alrighty, good evening. Okay, so you are picturing it, ne? Okay, so at this point, right? She started the argument. She hit you first. She's bleeding. Yeah. And then she's also tinier than you. And then also on top of that, she's a woman.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, she's the mother of your kids. But here she is trying to put bullets in the gun.
Yeah.
You are looking at her. Eh? But at this point, because you are a human being, right? We are designed to take care of ourselves to not die, Hasho. Eh? So you run towards her, eh? You run towards her, nosputa imwe, your jean even toe in the middle. You ran onto her, you grabbed her, eh? By the time you grabbed her, right? The gun goes off.
Yep.
She shot herself in the stomach. Or at this point, you don't remember who shot, who pulled the trigger, because the gun was in between you guys.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you don't remember. Now, you are holding the gun. She has blood on her hands, ne? And your fingerprint is all over the gun. There's a trail of blood, ne? From the sitting room at the door where you beat her back, right? Where until the kitchen where she tried to get the knives, and she's touching everything, right? And now there's blood everywhere because she touched knives, she touched the fridge, and her hands are bloody, right? And then she runs quickly to the safe, right? And this is a trail of blood, but you have to also keep in mind that you are running in her trail. So her trail of blood does not look like dot, 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 dot. No, it doesn't look like onkota. Because it's smudged. So it looks like, the trail in itself looked like you dragged her.
Yeah.
You see?
That's point.
Hey, it looks like you dragged her from the door to the kitchen to the room. Eh? And mind you, all the walls in your house now, are full of blood. Why? Because she touched things.
Yeah.
With her nosebleed, right? The gun goes off. The gun goes off, it shoots her in the stomach. And at this point, right, the people have already heard the commotion from the time that you tried to open the door and leave. Eh? And then she stopped you. They already heard from there. By the time that gun goes off, Namibian police, hello?
Everybody.
There's Namibian police, man. Yeah. Namibian police, hello? Namibian police. Yeah. At the time that the gun goes off, Namibian police. Right?
Yeah.
And she falls to the ground, and she. But guess who has the gun in the hand?
Hey.
You. Because you were running to go and take the gun off. I'm telling you. Because you were running.
You are watching too much movies.
It's not even watching too many movies. It's exactly what really happens. Right? So now, don't forget. Ne, she had a runny nose. There's no wound. Yeah. There's no blue eye. There's no missing teeth or whatever. There's just blood everywhere. And then she has also touched you all over. And the way she has touched you is holding on to your clothes. Now holding on to your clothes in the
yes.
Holding on to your clothes, ne? That is some would categorize that as defensive. Like she was trying to defend herself from you. That's why she was trying to push you and pull you away from her. That's why she held your t-shirt like that. Right? And you are holding the gun in your hands. The police break down the door and they say, drop the gun. Some guy comes and fly kicks you. Rock. Yeah. Down. They pick you up and they put you in handcuffs. You walk out of there. It's sirens everywhere. It's neighbors standing outside. What is to say? That this guy killed his wife.
Yeah.
Yes. He killed his wife. Passion killing. Then the rumor starts with, yeah, I saw that woman is not happy with this guy. Yeah?
Oh. It's always
like that. I always knew. You see all those times that you... Check. This guy, I've seen this man, Tata G. That man sits in the car and talks on the phone better with his mistress. Can't you are calling radio?
Mistress, every time.
Can't you are calling radio? Even the way he laughs in that... Maybe the wife is tired of him cheating on her. Yeah? These are the rumors that are going on in your society. And these are exactly the rumors that also reach your children and reach your family. Right? Then you go there. Now, what is this charge? Yeah? So it is the charge of culpable homicide or murder of the first degree, second degree, whatever charge they decide. And then they put you, right, in the holding cell. So say now.
The guy was just having a ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, just still.
Yeah. So, he stole two sweets.
And chocolate.
He stole four nappies. You know, I was in Checkers the other day, the Checkers in Plain Vintook. And on the milk, I was getting Michaela's milk. And on the milk there, there's a thing like okandarate, aka scanning at the machine, like to open it, like omahini, rapateruamu, rafagaturame, like, because people apparently they just go there, they open the tins, and then ta tapamwa mahini tayak. I was like, this is wild. I was like, wild. So now, you are sitting there. You came in with your clothes and everything, you are sitting there. Eh? You are supposed to be making one phone call. Yeah, at this point, you don't even know if your wife is dead or not. Yeah, you're supposed to be making one phone call and you have no idea who to call even at this point. So you're just sitting with your same clothes full of blood and all of that. And then, right, let's say you are not a talkative person and people have asked us now, what did this guy do? Yeah, and then the police officer said, oh, he killed his wife. So the guy with the traffic ticket comes in.
The guy with the traffic ticket
comes in. Like this is a perfect example of a bad day. Eh? No. I'm telling you. Now you're sober.
They start talking about their problem. You are like, what?
I'm telling you. So now this guy with the traffic ticket is looking at you. And he's looking at you in the eyes of, this is a stone cold hearted, no hearted killer, this guy.
Criminal.
Eh. Karanewa adika wakwa rane, eh? Yeah. You only going by madam.
Penny longa nena na. Unakomonu mega.
Watengele nena ndoko hambo. Ndetoningi oshi adimontwe. Eh? Ngopo wadika wakuru. Rasha shimonzorongu ya muyugala. Hey, then you say that, Kucha, you look just the part. So, now, does that mean, if you were that guy, yeah, must I now decide that I'm going to put you with other people that have killed their wives also?
Yeah.
No. It means that it means no, but you didn't kill your wife. But you didn't kill your wife. The fact still remains, right? You are innocent until you are proven guilty. Because sometimes, right? Sometimes. Sometimes the story, ne, happens just like that. Where you didn't provoke this person. Where you didn't even shoot this person. Where this person is the one that's going after you.
You know, my track, ne?
Yeah.
Like that, in that scenario. That's why sometimes it's better to walk off.
Yeah.
Before you go to the action like that.
Yeah.
Because you know one.
But sometimes your lover chases you until the door.
No, we know women never stop. I'm telling you, you guys never stop.
I'm telling you. But it takes very strong people, ne, to walk away sometimes.
No, for me, it's better to walk away.
It is the correct thing to do. But just look at it from that perspective, Kucha. Like, are people allowed to judge you before they know the whole story even?
Oh, they will. The people, they will judge
they you. Will do it, but they will do it, but the law is not supposed to do that. The law is supposed to treat you as a human being with dignity and respect. And that's why we are not going to choose to, some offenders we put them here and some offenders we put them there. Because you are all the same in front of the law. And also you are innocent until you are proven guilty.
But you know, for me, maybe they need to separate the custody where we have to wait for trial.
Because no, my dear. Just don't owe traffic. How? Anoike. Like, I'm a nunye.
No.
Just don't owe traffic. Just drive properly. Then you will not be in that place.
Sometimes, you are just going to matric, graduation.
Then
you are having two or three. You know when you start
then
like,
leave the car.
Just give me one.
Leave the car. Leave the car.
Then water. Then you say,
if my dear,
water, just bring two.
Leave
bring
the car.
Two.
Leave
from
the car.
Two to the whole crate.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. No. Leave the car. Leave the car so you pick it up tomorrow. Yeah, but then if you don't want to leave your car, that is where you are going.
And that type of way, there was no Yango. Yango just come recently.
Yeah.
That time you can order Yango now.
Now you can order a Yango. But then also there were taxis. But you guys don't want to catch taxis. You guys would rather go and pay 8,000.
They are violent that time.
They were not violent. The taxi drivers were our cousins that time. They were not violent. All of our families have at least one cousin. Every family has at least one cousin. But also going back now, right? To our actual conversation for tonight. I think that is why, that is why correctional facility cannot be deemed as anything else but a rehabilitation center.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but...
Yeah.
Look here, what I'm saying is it's supposed to be, Namibia is that...
But you guys like changing the topic. Even now, tonight we are talking about sexual abuse of children, huh? Now we are going to jail things. Eh? You are such a vambu person. Now we are talking jail things. 20 minutes on jail topics.
The thing is what I told you that they don't keep record. It's where we started. Because we're supposed to have a record of those people published, even the newspaper.
Yeah.
So we know them.
But then we will kill them.
No, we're not.
We will. They will not be safe.
No, the problem is here, Elizabeth. You cannot tell me the person he done something with when he was a teacher with kids. Then again, you are allowing him even to go back to do the same thing. I mean, to teach again.
But he changed.
Come on, he must want to... No!
He's a good person.
We understand that, but at least, he can even follow the other career.
No, but following another career means that I have to go to school for that and I don't have that kind of money.
No, school is free now. Maybe she make it for sure.
Where those people, they just talk. They just talk that time. We will see if it's free. It's not a reality. Yeah? It's not a reality.
Yeah.
No. It's just the same as our pension will be 3,000. Where are we now?
I'm telling you. Then they wait for voting after voting. But you know,
they're selling us dreams and that business is booming, my dear.
And you know my disappointment, Elizabeth, is like out of 15,000 people apply for funds, only 42. And those 42, the name are not coming out even.
Because they don't want you people to go and harass our family members.
This one also, a son of minister. This one is a grandson of who?
Yes.
This one is, you see? That's what is they're hiding.
Yeah.
And seriously, when it comes to this transparency in Namibia, it's what, but when, okay, let us go to your topic. Otherwise, we are diverting.
You are diverting. You know, black
exactly.
People. Me. Yeah, we keep saying you guys are trying to hide
you need
the things.
You must bring me back. You must bring me back.
But okay, just hold the line quickly.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. Get 10 kilograms each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal and Bokomo Fed Cook Flour, also 5 kilos nice rice as well as 500 grams grande pasta, all 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes we all save at USAID.
Alrighty, you were saying...
What I was saying, serious, we supposed to have a record.
Okay.
Otherwise, this thing are not supposed to be repeating.
Okay.
Just imagine a person committed something like, there was something like this guy, he murdered somebody in the South.
Yeah.
Long time, like in 1960.
What was his name? His name was what? Nanjebo.
His name was Paulus
something. Then he ran throughout the whole of Namibia. Yes, I remember him.
Then again, he repeats.
Oh, he killed he was a serial killer. He was one of he's one of Namibia's one of Namibia's first serial killers. I remember him. I think it was Paulus or something.
But they get away with it. Otherwise, if you're having a record of that guy, people be careful, especially women who are, you know, these guys, they are friendly when it comes to, they are the one even getting hot girls.
There are people that are coming out of jail today and getting married. You're like, wow.
I'm telling you, I saw one woman getting married with a guy in prison. Not a joke. I never knew that it is happening.
It happens, my dear. You know people that are in jail.
I saw it this last month.
Do you know why? Do you know why? People in jail have a lot of time, my dear. They have a lot of time to love you.
To propose women. Guys, man. The new guys are not okay with
you.
How can you?
Look.
Somebody in jail and then you are saying, yes,
Tara,
I do.
Tara. Hey. It's only that, It's only that, I have fan mail from jail. Ne?
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys about that? I got like maybe 30 letters, 40 letters. From Oluno, from Oluno Correctional, from Tumep Correctional, from Vintu Correctional, and I think it was also one in Katima or Kavango.
Yeah.
I am telling you, if you are a weak person, if you are a weak person,
yeah.
If you are a weak person, the letters that are written there, I'm telling you. Kucha, hey matriarch, I just wanted to let you know that you are wonderful and amazing and you have changed my life really. I'm a person that has changed their what and I've changed my ways and right now I've been listening to what and the podcast of what and I'm doing this now with my life and then I'm also studying law and then I'm also doing if you were single, if you were single, you would write back. You would write back. In that correspondence, you will see yourself to Kwatoteka Besa Wieko Correctional Facility. Do you know why? Because the people there, there's this other one. What was his name, Ed something. There was this other one. Eh? And he was, my dear, this person was basically in jail. Eh?
Yeah.
And yeah. they are texting me on Facebook, friend.
Yeah.
Facebook, oh, yes. Facebook, during the afternoon, again, now, like a normal working person that went to work, yeah, texting you on Facebook. And I'm like, eh? No, I just wanted to get to know. Imagine if somebody can be talking to you.
Did you hear even the meme who lose her car?
My dear.
The guy's in jail.
Tara, there was a scammer that was trying to scam us. Eh?
Yeah.
And I think at some point we went to the police station.
Yeah.
Because the number doesn't want to pick up phone calls and whatever. I don't know what we went to do at the police station. Then I was trying to call the number. Eh? Because yeah, he said he's inspector what. Eh, you must come to the Namibian police now and what. And then I went, Moss, we went. And yeah, then I'm telling you, I'm calling that phone and the phone is ringing inside the cells.
Inmate.
Eh? So we cannot blame those that fall in love because inmates have time. They have time to love you. The problem is that they are two different people. There is the inmate person and then there's the person that is outside. Because sometimes you gravitate towards the one that is replying to your letters.
Yeah,
and you give them attention and love and all of that. And then when you come out, now you realize that you have options. Very resentful towards these partners that they marry straight out of jail because this partner was speaking a certain way when they were in prison and when they are out, yeah, right? They are a whole different person. Different. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now they are telling you that all men are trans. How can you say that all of us we are? You just pick up your trash around 2 o'clock.
You just like garbage, ma'am.
Ma'am,
or what am I dustbin? We are not dogs. You just like dustbins. You like dustbins. You are municipality, you. But anyhow, going. That's a gene.
Yeah.
So what happens now? Right? When a child is sexually violated inside the house by a member of the family. How do you guys deal with that one? Have you ever heard of something like that in your community?
I heard it a lot.
What happened?
People, even family members, they are trying to cover that guy.
So there was because no jail, there was no what?
No, sometimes they say, you say what? A breadwinner in the house. Now, how can you cover somebody like that?
Sarah's husband.
Because this kid is going to grow up with a traumatized person around here.
Yeah.
And now.
But why do they do that? Is it because they are afraid of poverty, or is it because they don't care about the victim, or is it because we are Wambo people? We believe in hiding things, and maybe you will forget. Because I've heard people say, I will tell them what.
No. But for me, only the thing which I feel bad now that we are bringing out, just imagine, a kid who is 12 years.
Yeah.
And maybe with 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now it's always this kid need to be arrested. No. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't know not to be fit. Man,
Hello. No. It's not unona tawi fifita. Okana taka fifita. Okana taka fifita mkwao.
Wow.
Yes. Because even the way. No, but that's the thing. Like, I will beat you.
Listen, those ones, they are young.
No, but that's what we think.
I have a problem,
No, but that's what we think, and this is why we are trying to talk about this conversation. Because, if you are thinking like that, everybody thinks like that. Okay, your seven-year-old daughter, kadanenma by your nephew, that is 10, you are saying, otavi fifita.
But that is what we are saying. Why?
Why?
How?
Anya
muzano telenovela veni. Mulimu bashungu ikikinya. Taningo fiki fiki manguno na wakosa.
That's your fault.
But what about me?
The mother?
No, the victim. Yeah. What about me? That 7 year old.
No. 7 years. Sometimes I even going also to request that cowboy come back. Elizabeth, takutiwa unwa mbogwa tinge biyo kwa nyama tati. Yaka kuti nagariaga kwa.
Aye.
You know what that mean?
Those are stupid things.
That is just for you to learn experience. Huh?
No. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Oh, like, this person did a bad thing to me.
Remember the thing with...
I am that I'm sick, Pam.
Eh, no, I'm over they are okay.
So you are suggesting that me at 7 year old or ongae ne tandi fifita with your nephew you.
The nephew of 10 years, huh?
Ongae ne I'm instigating it.
The problem I have is a person who is 20 letting a kid of 8 years or 10 years. Or a person who is 56.
So if it happens to your daughter,
what is that now?
So if it happens to your daughter, you guys are not going to do anything about it. That's it. But this is exactly what I am talking about, Tate G, right? That you are going to beat somebody that didn't do anything.
You must not fall. What in that for that person? You must scream that so you can get help.
So you are going to beat me for being shocked?
Because you allow it. Sashi, problem.
How did I allow it at seven years old?
Did you see even like a...
How did I allow it at 7 years old?
Elizabeth, did you hear the story of the cowboy who pregnant is? I think 3 sisters. But now he's in jail. That guy's even bigger. But he start with what? The one with, I think it's 17 years. He might get pregnant. Okay. The mother... But they are biological mother, I mean sisters. Okay, then... The mother, they went for abortion. Okay, and then he come to 15 years one. Then, now he pregnant this one, 13 years. She's even, they cannot even remove that pregnancy. Just imagine. Because the mother, he didn't say anything to the family member.
But how did I allow it?
You.
At 7.
You just keep quiet because I don't do it again. And the person is enjoying it because that one is older. Just imagine it, 20 something, or I think.
But this is victim blaming. You are blaming me? You're saying, why? Why must I be beaten when I didn't do anything? This is why your children end up hating you. Because you are beating me and I'm a victim. You found me, it's like you finding me bumped by a car. Right? And I was on the pavement. No, I was on the pavement. And I was bumped by a... No. No, it's like... No, I was not in the road. I was on the pavement. And the car went over the pavement to come and bump me here. And then you want to come and beat me for getting bumped by a car.
Did you call for help?
At what point am I supposed...
Somebody have to come and find you. To find you.
At what point am I supposed to...
You can walk.
Listen.
You can walk.
Listen. At what point am I supposed to find help if I'm being bumped by the car now?
The car bumped you. Listen. The car bumped you, but you keep quiet. You didn't even say anything.
What do you mean?
Now we just realize when you are limping. Listen, when you are limping, you realize like, oh, what happened to you? It's where you are talking.
Have you ever been so afraid of somebody that
in my life,
that you choose to not say anything?
Oh, teachers.
Now imagine.
Listen.
Now imagine that fear in a 7-year-old when the person is being told by the nephew that I am going to kill you if you say something. And now here comes my father coming to beat me again because I was afraid of somebody. Because I have no power. And now I'm being beaten after I have been sexually violated. Does that make sense to you?
Elizabeth, listen.
No, I'm asking.
Does this person threaten you? No. You want to die now?
No, does it make sense?
It does, but the thing
no,
is
No, but that but that's what I'm talking about. The fact that
you can't keep quiet.
But I kept quiet. But hold the line.
No.
Okuyipuranga o masimbo ya mkucha, omuroshe kitu na ompango ya vijido monjira. Ngashi, ino taaguru kila shampoka. Ino hinga kuhio vingo, ino hinga anumata ya ira da papa, ino hingirira. Omurosho ka, ina tukara okuturao nkaramonyo ye, moshiponga. Ino ninga omuyaruwa, ino ninga oshineni nima. Kara omurongiti monjira, omu inekewa. Ninga shokasha monjira, eto kupitha omuinyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Good evening.
Hey, okay, mm-hmm. Let's go there.
Yeah. No, Elizabeth, I understand that. But the thing is that there's a point for you to tell somebody you rely on that you don't even say nothing.
What if I don't rely on anybody? What if the threat that I was given was bigger than me?
But you cannot keep quiet.
But that is why, right? We speak about these things because there's a level of not understanding that happens within our people. You are telling me that I need to speak up, right? And yeah. I'm telling you I can't. But you are telling me that you can't understand that I can't do that. Literally, as my parent, you are telling me that you can't understand why I can't speak up. Because I am afraid. It's like you're telling me that my fear is irrelevant. You're telling me that what I feel and what I'm experiencing doesn't matter.
No, it does.
No. That is in your actions. That is exactly what you're telling me. And do you know why victims don't come out? It's because you say things like that. It's because you believe things like that. It's because you believe that just because that boy was 10 and I was 7, right? Means that I wanted it. Just because you think that just because he was 10, just because he is just a little bit older than me, I was enjoying it. You think that I can't be afraid of somebody because we are the same age, but yet, ngwe kuzakusita hui, why are ofa dukabonyelifa wa jejeje, and he's even younger than you, but you used to run like a girl. And you are telling me, but that's the thing, right? You are allowed to be understood for your cowardice behavior when you were younger, but you are incapable of understanding our children. Yeah. Like exactly. No, it is the same concept of fear. Tandengwara left, right, and center every day. Toyara no ntundane. But every day when you go home, you don't tell your parents. You don't tell them. But it's because your parents will turn around, right? And beat you. And now you are telling me that these two children, that we found in this position where this one is violating the other one, right? You are going to beat both of them. So you are telling me that I'm not allowed to be afraid. And even if I'm afraid, I'm not allowed to be in shock. And I will get beaten for being in shock and for being violated. You are telling me that if I get sexually violated, it is my fault. And this is the same thing. Yes,
it
is my fault because I am being beaten. I am being beaten. I am being beaten. And 90% of the time, you people that are beating children for bad things happening to them, ne? 90% of the time, you guys don't even understand why you guys are beating these children. And 90% of the time, you guys don't even explain why you are beating these children. Now the child is already hurt, is already unsafe. And now you are showing me as my father, I can never in my life forgive you for it. I can never trust you for it. And you will never be on my side, no matter what. Because the one time that something bad happened to me, you chose to put me in a punishment seat. And that is why you guys come onto social media and read rape articles and say, yeah, but what was she wearing? But is it correct? Is it correct to sexually violate another person? It is not. So the perpetrator, we deal with the perpetrator like a perpetrator. And in this case, the perpetrator is the one that is violating the other. You will see who is under.
Look, there's 10 years and 7 years. That one, is not the one who is supposed to call the police seriously. But the person who's like a 15.
But he grows up. He grows up to be a serial rapist.
15.
No, he grows up to be a serious rapist, like a serial rapist. And in our laws, even if you are saying let's not call the police, right? Because that is what every single family member does. Shashi u 50 we ina utameka pay fashion na ena 23 de takwata okana koke na tena kong o onkonga ka. Hapo shata meke rembono kwata meke shena tena ndenyeta mwena. As family ndeta mwena, you guys must call the police. You call the police and he is dealt with. Because there is no law in this country that says, yeah, if you are 10 years old, you must go to jail. There's no jail for children in this country. You guys are afraid of the law. To be against the 10-year-old, but you guys are harboring criminals. You guys are harboring malicious people. You guys are harboring dangerous people. And you are leaving them in your houses with your children, with your wives, with yourself. One day you will wake up and this guy has cut up your whole entire family and you are wondering why.
One time.
but you left it there at 10, Shashino. Uno no shwa ika vidanen, sinatwi danena. How? In a tweet, Danena, we were being sexually violated by older kids. And our parents didn't take it.
Yeah, but I like the way you are, because now, I just want to also the conditions to go on.
Yes. because you know that, G, when you and I, we have these conversations, right? Usually it's something that's going to pop up in life. Whether for you, whether for me. And we hope it's not us. But if it's somebody else, at least we will know how to advise. Because this is what's happening in life.
These things are happening.
They're happening.
We are protecting them.
Even you are protecting. And Medenga emotional. This man. if you were my father, I would come and burn you. If you were my father, I will come and burn you. I will come and burn you one day when you are sleeping. If you are my father, you will not live long. You are beating me after somebody hurt me.
No, me, I was just trying to push you. How far you can
go. My dear.
but it's true, those things are when you are leading to people for experience.
Yes.
That is it's like they are doing experiments.
And also we don't understand consequences.
And those,
we don't understand consequences because nobody gave us consequences when we were 10 years old and we did something really bad. And the worst part is that we never think of the victim. We don't think about the nightmares that this child is going to be having.
Yeah, and at this time, like now, we have a social this social service. What do you call that? The people are in hospital. They can help and they rehabilitate the kids.
Mm.
Yeah, we need, yeah, those people, social workers.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least, anything happened, you can take them there.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to be what, to be in with a social worker and so on. Me, mm-hmm. I was just trying to pull your legs.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, some people will learn.
Yes.
Because the extent where we go, we'll go.
Because
we took even almost 1 hour in this room.
Exactly. Because this conversation, because you don't want, yeah, the neighbors are just like, yeah. Hey, kwete koshitayo romo hao to tachiting on kurkadi. But this is, okay, but this is a conversation that is, it's very touchy. It's very sensitive and it is triggersome. I am sorry. It is very, very triggersome, but I feel that it's a conversation worth having and we will have it. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to share your experiences or your views or your opinion about the conversation. Now, the topic in itself is child sexual assault. Right? And how we deal with it. Now, with our previous caller, we talked about the dynamics, right? The dynamics of us Awambo people or us Black people or us Namibian people, right? How we protect the perpetrator. We protect the perpetrator so much so that we victim shame. We victim shame. We victim bash. We victim punish. You get punished twice. You go through this kind of punishment and you get caught, right? You don't even get caught because you are a victim. You are scared. You understand. And you get beaten for existing in that space. Like, just imagine. Just imagine you are 7 years old and this 15-year-old boy in your house, starts fifitaring you guys in the night. You guys are still considered to be children, all of you guys. Like, bruh, that is not unonata with danene. That's that guy trying to fondle us. And I think that the biggest betrayal that, that parents do, or the biggest injustice that parents do to their children, especially in this case, is when they don't believe their children, especially the first time around. I cannot tell you that somebody did something to me and you don't believe me. And I feel like we have so much energy and we have so much compassion. We have so much compassion to perpetrators. So much, eh? So much compassion that it would make me believe that you guys don't actually care about your victim. You don't care about your survivor at all, because the whole entire focus goes on to the victim. Kucha, what are we gonna do as a family? You guys, you are sexually violated. And then you are sexually violated by a family member. And the people call a meeting, right? For the family member. Like, what the hell is that? Like, what? Yeah, we are having a family member for Nilifa because, this is going to ruin his life. Like, what do you mean it's going to ruin his life? What just happened to me? What just happened to me? Is it not ruining my life, this one? Good evening. Good evening. Talk to me.
Good evening, my dearest.
Good evening, my love. You're going to talk outside. You don't want your parents to hear your opinions.
Hello?
Yes, my love.
Oh, good evening, my dearest.
Hi, darling. How are you, Anna?
I'm good.
Mm. Talk to me. Yes.
How does a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old and an 8-year-old how is it rape?
Okay. So what is rape in itself? Rape is most sexual acts that are not consensual, right? And we consent. Yeah. Then we go to the conversation around who can give consent, right? So if we are talking about minors, right? So none of them can give consent, but there is the one that is doing the act, and then there's the one that's receiving the act that's being done. So I don't know if it's Miriam Law or something. There's a particular
There's a particular law there that states that people that are doing sexual activities that are basically in the same region, right, of age, here in Namibia, it's the same region of age, right? They are not necessarily to be deemed as criminals or as perpetrators, right? They are just deemed to be misinformed and playing, or not playing, but doing bad things that they are not supposed to be doing. Right? And it could be that, one doesn't understand what is happening. One has an idea of what is happening, but because they are small, their brains are not fully developed to know exactly what they are doing. Not unless that child is clinically, right? Deemed to be a psychopath or a sociopath. Because you do get psychopath children and sociopath children. Right? So with small children like that, it is not necessarily, it's not rape per se. It has its own department and it has its own way of it being dealt with. It's not, this child is going to stand trial and all of that. But we can also talk about, when it comes to ages that are very close to one another, within our African houses, when something like that happens, say now your cousin is 12, right? And he started getting erections and he started having wet dreams and he started corporating and whatever is happening to him, right? And you are 7. That is sexual violation. But these ones of small children, it is more of it has its own department because they also have to be educated and they have to be taught that this is like, don't, that's why in schools they have these songs, don't touch my knee, my chest, don't touch my legs, don't touch my private parts, because they still have to be taught about that and they have to be taught that this is not a normal act that children do. This is an act that adults do. So it's not rape per se. It is, it has its own terms and it has its own understandings and it has its own system that of how it is dealt with. Yeah. So even if your child is in your eyes violated by the neighbor child that is the same age, right? You can still go to the police station and it will still be taken up. But it's not taken up like an adult would, where we just go look for the guy and we put him in handcuffs and he's gone, man, baba. It's not like that. It's involving social workers. It's involving psychologists. It's involving all of that. It's a whole system in itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So anything else? How do you feel we as Black people deal with, sexual assault of children? And by sexual assault, I'm talking about an adult sexually violating a child.
Okay, in my opinion, I just feel like sometimes, I don't know if we don't open up also, but you'll find a condition is in of this state and whereby there's something that is going on like that in the household, but it's kept aside, as you know.
Mm.
It's something that is being done inside the house and the you'll find sometimes, which I know, if it goes out or what, like, I think it's ironically the fear of what people will say or so. But in many cases, you find that there are certain things that are being done in the household, but because of the fear of what people are saying, it's kept inside.
Mm.
And I feel like it's a norm nowadays. Huh?
Mm.
It's a little bit, it's, the percentage of people that comes, like that comes and tell as it is, it's very low.
Mm.
So.
But, for us to say that it is a thing of what will people say, is that in defense of the victim or is it in defense of the perpetrator? Let's say now it's in the same household.
It's in defense of, I don't know if it's, cause in this case, the perpetrator,
mm-hmm.
and the other one, for this one, I feel like they are put aside. And then now,
who's put aside?
It becomes the two now, the prepaid data and the, yes, the one. Yeah. Like,
the
Dua like
and the Dani.
They are put aside, and then now it's brought upon within the elders, whereby the elders are the ones that comes in now, and then they get to talk to the Dua and the and that thing, and then from there I think they just get to be told, to know that you did this wrong, and that's it.
So,
and then this is whereby many of the ones that they become, when they are growing up, they become traumatized. And then now growing up, they get to, like when they get to be educated now of what happened or of that. Then
yeah, because you have to go and find the education somewhere else, because in your household, nobody will teach you what just happened to you.
Nobody will teach you. And then now that is whereby when you are growing up, now you get to find it, you get to learn about it. And then you go back and then you think of what happened back in the day. And then now you think of how the situation was handled. And then now, cause now you, know the, cause now you know what is going on. Now you feel it I feel like it just keeps coming back and forth. And this is where we find people being traumatized or just scared of men around them also.
And this is how our personalities and our characteristics in life are shaped, because our families didn't shield us in one way or another. I believe that when we think about the concept of what are people going to say, it is usually in the defense of the person that did wrong. It is never in the defense of the survivor. They might play it off. Right? Like, we are also helping you, but that is why rape victims have a level of shame. When somebody violates you in that way, ne? Society usually looks at you different, and they look at you different, and then you see yourself as different, and also, you see the situation as different. It's called victim blaming. Like that question of what were you wearing? Yeah? Regardless of what you are wearing, should you be raped? No.
Not at all.
I shouldn't be raped because of what I'm wearing.
Okay, no, oh, wait, Valerie.
Yeah.
If it's in concern of what I was wearing, those older people that rape small kids on diapers, like now in that case, what do you name it?
Yeah, that's pedophilia. That is sexual attraction to children. Yeah, but it's still basically the same kind of thing. But what happens there is that, you birth a lot of shame. And what happens in therapy is that, therapy, identifies this shame and the guilt that you feel as it's not yours. Now you feel embarrassed because something bad happened to you, something that you didn't call, something that you didn't do. Vakwetu, you were walking, from the shop to go home. You are wearing a tracksuit, let's say hypothetically, all the stereotypes of why you should get raped in Namibia as a black woman, are put aside. You're not wearing a short skirt, you're not provoking anybody, your nipples are not standing, you're not a woman, you know? You are dressed like it's summer, like it's winter time in the middle of the blazing heat of summer, and you still get raped, right? And, and you are still asked questions like, yeah, but what were you wearing? And then if they can't find a loophole with what you were wearing, they ask, but where were you going that time? Let's say it's afternoon time, Okay, so let's say it's afternoon time. I'm going to buy bread for the kids, So yeah, but why were you walking there? Like, this is the only way. There's no other way. This is the only way. Yeah, but why didn't you wait for somebody to take you through the bush so you guys can walk together? Like,
Because I waited for 20 minutes and there was nobody that was coming. Yeah, but why didn't you scream? You see this? Like, all these questions, they keep beating on your heart. They keep beating on your heart. And what does that beating cause? They cause shame. It makes you feel like you called for it. You are the one that wanted it. And that is why somebody came to come and take it. But it's not true. It's not true. And that is what your family members would also do by defending the perpetrator. Aye, okana kanje. It's your grandmother now because it's your uncle that did it. Eh? Aye, okana kanje. Natushitaleni nga mezi mo. But ni. So the whole defense, right, is choosing the bad guy, choosing the villain, right, over the innocent, and then you wonder why the innocent grows up to be a villain. It's hectic because now you are living in shame. Now you are thinking, Kucha, maybe it's the way I looked at him. Eh? Maybe it's the way I cook Oshimbob. Maybe it's the way, eh? Andiki yoga, ndazara, ikutu. You ask yourself all these questions, you know? And there's no solid answer because you didn't do anything. But your family, however, the way they handle it, makes you feel as if you did something wrong. Makes you feel like just being born a girl is wrong. Or being born a boy. Because right now, we can't even say that rape is only for females. Do you know that people can say things that, you know, people can be sitting and talking, ne? And this is how I know that we have a community of very stupid people. Hey, you can find people sitting, ne? And then you will hear, Kucha, ah, yeah, that other guy, ne, raped this other guy. Hmm? Do you know what will come out of somebody's mouth, especially a man? Do you know what will come out of his mouth? Oh, aye, why didn't he rape a girl, brah? There are so many girls. Like a girl deserves to be raped. And that is why there are laws that permit, ne, Kucha, if somebody has raped you, you can go and report this case within 20 years. 20 years.
And then after 20 years, you're still being asked, where were you all those days?
My dear. No, which are, and then they still ask you things like, yeah, but why didn't you report it sooner? I was healing. Yeah, I was healing.
And I was building my carriage.
I was healing because it's not an easy thing. I think people look at it like it's just sex. It's not sex. Sex is consensual. Sex is when I want it. Also. And that's why a lot of men are fighting this thing of marital rape, right? Apparently it's not rape if we're married. No, it's not that. A lot of them are going to jail because their wives are reporting them for rape. Because they think that they paid a couple of cows or a cow, even one, just one cow, that their family members even ate. Eh? You deserve to have sex dished out on a platter every single day. You deserve it. And they are going to sit. They are sitting in jail because they are raping their wives. And they don't understand that it's rape because we are married. It's just the same as people will not understand that, yeah, but ita ninisha shai hu non. Like, no, bruh, this guy is 12 and I'm 7. There's no twizer, that twizer ninishke, pano. Like, what?
But in the case of kids, I still don't understand. I'm trying to make it make sense.
Okay.
Still...
Let me tell you how it makes sense. It is not rape. It is an issue completely different to what we're talking about. That was that one is a psychological thing that the law has to also be involved in because, there is a there's psychologically something wrong there with the children.
Okay.
Either the children are exposed to big people things. And in that case, that is child abuse or child neglect to some degree. So then we would have to now look at the parents, which are, what are you guys doing in front of children? This is child abuse. You guys are exposing the children to pornography, which is a crime on its own. because what you guys are doing there is coitusing each other, which is pornography if I'm watching it. And children are not supposed to be watching it. You understand? So that one is yeah, it's not under rape. It's dealt with completely different.
Okay.
If there is one that is telling the other one, you must lay down now. Hey, I'm going to do this to you right now, right? It is understanding where that child is coming from, because everything comes from home. So who does this to who? And why did this child feel that it's absolutely normal for them to go and do this to the neighbor child? Then we go back to parents, right?
Uh-huh.
What do you guys do? And the child goes through therapy, talk therapy, or sometimes also display or doll therapy, where the child has to play a game. The child thinks that they are playing, but they are being observed, right? So it's a little house with dolls. It's mommy, it's daddy, it's what. And imagine when you are in that setting and you are playing, right?
Uh-huh.
After a certain amount of time, like you play, maybe you go for sessions and you go and play there for a month, there every day for a month. Eventually you're going to play out the scenario. Hold the line.
Undakalhandu yako parateza murwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nundaka ne data no shoyo o tumaraka mahupi. O netwe kaimwe o kufutarumwe o kuyingarumwe o kujapandali. Fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga onetwe kaoyo hai dira dira ya fange. O mafikwa amwe o handi streaming. O mafikwa amwe o handi popi. O mafikwa amwe o handi nigaishe poshika ndoshimwe. Pamwina parateza uinda holora ameha ishipangere osho paumwini dira dira umakota fanoni data momka wili mwana parika okutuma kutumaraka okustreaminga na okudenga pamwina parates konga parates Namibia
always attend parates.
Alrighty, so imagine that this child is playing, right? So they eventually, you will play the games that you actually play. So for the first day, you might be shy of the little lady or the lady that's saying, no, Junior, just play, you know? But eventually you become acquainted to the toys and you go there every day for 1 hour. Eventually you will start playing exactly what happens in your house. That is why when you see a child's character, just go outside and look at other children and see their vocabulary, the words that they use towards one another,
yeah.
Right? That is exactly what happens in their household. So you have an abusive father and an abusive son. So the son goes out there and abuses other children. You know, there's this boy, Dominic, at my son's school. That child has a very mean set of parents. Like, his parents are very mean. And they are pushing him. You know, you must be great. You must do better. You must be the best. Right? And the father has this phrase of, "Ekete yo tetni. I don't have your time." Ne? So when he's calling Dominic, like, to come to the car after school, he's like, "Dominic, I get you take me." Yeah. So even when you guys go like to fun walks at the school, he says it a lot. "I get you take, I get you take, I get you take." Yeah. So it's a saying that he says a lot. And guess what? Dominic is now bullying the other kids, right? And he's saying is, "I get you take me. I don't have your time. I don't have your time. Can you take me?" Yeah. So me, being the super mother that I am, I think he was picking on Natasha or something. Natasha took a drink that looked identical to hers that Dominic came to put next to hers. And he came and said that, yeah, he wants his drink the way he left it. And the way he left it, and she must make quick and get him another drink. He doesn't have her time. Can you take me? Yeah. Oh, my dear, did I not put handbags down? I said, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not going to do that. You are not going to bully my child. You're not going to, my child is not your child.
Because your teacher clearly told you, if there's something wrong, you don't address it. You go and tell teacher so that teacher addresses it. So you want to bully somebody into going to look for a magical drink somewhere. Because you were told that keep your drink separate and you came to put it next to hers. Ek het nie jou tyd nie. I repeated it. Ek het nie jou tyd nie. But also, even when he was playing games, right? Or because they had tournaments. They were playing games. They had tournaments like sports. And the father was there, but the father was yelling. You know, the father was yelling like, "Muni dom fies ni man, eh? Don't be." He was just so angry. And you could see that displayed through his son, because his son is also a bully at school. Because that's what he's growing up with. So now imagine when it comes to sexual assault. Everywhere you go, you are going to be playing those games of the things that you see in your house. That's why I'm a big believer on fake it until you make it with your beloved, but don't show the children. I understand, right? Why Akuruyonare? Why we praise Akuruyonare forever? Do you know why? We've never heard our grandmothers crying and they are fighting with their husbands because Ayakonjeremonjuondishi. It's not to say that it's good. It's not to say that it's good, but it has painted a picture of what marriage looks like. They were suffering. Now we know that they were suffering because now they speak up and they told us and all of that, right? But it's not something that the children grew up with, thinking that it's happening. They only found out as adults that it used to happen. But us, we are very loud. As parents, our generation, we are very loud. We want to go up and the kids must see us. And we want to make a scene. I think 90% of the time when we are having arguments in the household or answering each other in the household, we don't even think about the kids at all. And that's why you can try and not work hard. Or sometimes, you know, it's circumstances. Eh? You guys are at Ombuari Atotina. You guys mwakongo kapere kikeni. And then, you know, you guys sleep on the bed. The kids sleep on the floor. Right? And then the kids see the things that you guys are doing to each other. They're on the bed. Right? But the truth is that I feel that some of these things, you guys, it's not rocket science to hide it from the kids. At all. It's just a matter of effort. It will not block the sounds, right? But it will block the visuals. Because you are also told that sleep, you know, and then you just fall asleep. So that the people do their things. But eventually, right? Whatever is done in the house comes out.
And this is how the kids
go and play house. Mm-hmm. That's why we say it's called house because we play what happens in a household. So that is why it is important for us as parents or as aspiring parents to display love and affection to our partners. So you hold your partner's hand. You don't do bad things. You don't do deep things, but you display love, like compassion and kindness. Hold hands. Yeah. I think that, the kissing is a bit, I think we shouldn't kiss in front of children. My daughter embarrassed me this weekend. Oh my God. We went to the grandmother. And I think because we kiss most, like I kiss her, I kiss the kids, I kiss the father, you know, we kiss. I think because we do it, she assumed that it is normal. So her cousin, Skylar, came and she hugged Skylar and then she kissed her. Oh, she wanted to kiss her. But it was one of those, she doesn't really like kisses.
So she was a bit skeptical about, should I kiss her or not? And she's two, right? So she's like, but she's so far. It's like, then I was like, yeah, we should stop those things. Kissing babies.
Yeah, because I also remember there was a time whereby you see, the kids, if we have kids in the house, they also react sort of, motivate or inspire them, and they also grow up to be like
you. You are their role model. Like right now, that child in your house thinks that you are a superstar. Like, what? Chris Brown, what?
And then now, like, sometimes I look at my niece. Homegirl is just 3 and the child is singing to a point whereby she doesn't want to go to her school anymore. She wants to follow me to campus.
Yeah.
Because apparently she has to go sick. And I'm like, is this really how it is?
Yes. They are like ducks or like chickens. They just follow you and copy everything that you're doing because you are so important. You are literally the center of somebody's universe. My daughter, when she's sleeping, Mommy, hello, Natasha, kiss the layer. Like, hi, guys. Lan! Even Elo is the same. Like, my kids, they talk in their sleep, guys. They play until they sleep. So it is literally like that. If you just start that thing of standing at street corners with boys, then you will see that she's also going to be standing at street corners with boys.
Uh-huh.
Just the same as the music that you guys are playing constantly. It is the music that they also like. My daughter is 2 and she can dance better than everybody. Everyone. You know why? Because every morning the music is put on. There's that Amaru or what? Kirimaru or Amaru. Eh? I don't know. Yeah. And Manu. And then every time she sees the remote, she's like, Manu, Manu. And then you put it on and then she dances and she sings. Cash content cup. Cash content cup. Yeah. Like you're like, wow. Yeah. So what you display and what you are is really what the children also become. So in this case, children seem to think that things are normal. Because if we see mother and father doing it, then this is absolutely normal. This is what parents do. And we are playing house, and we've got kids, and we've got, and we go to the room and we go and do this.
I know that. Now I understand.
Now you understand them? What do you understand? Repeat it to me.
I understand because, like, at first I thought it's just under Unwinata Wizan anymore because, like, growing up, you know.
Like, it's normal. It's none of you people that go through things and then you guys think that things are normal.
So that is actually what I thought it was. Because I know it's just, because like an 8-year-old and 5-year-old, like 2 kids of the same age, like underage also, like I didn't find it as rape. It's just how kids are like. And then I'm like, now you got to, and then now that you got to explain, I kind of understand because now it's actually how we portray things in front of kids.
Yeah.
Like they turn out to be.
Yeah. So, and then also this is a most parents hide these things. Do you know why they hide these things? Because they know that at the end of the day, it's going to come back to them and how they are parenting children. So they make you think, you as the child, they make you think that you're so bad and you're so naughty and you are just a mischief and nobody likes you and nobody wants you and you are hurting other people's kids, and they make you feel like that, but it's not actually like that because you were not born knowing sex. It's them. It's true. It's them that came to play their things in front of you.
Oh, English. And the, oh, okay.
And that's why they, some parents want to hide it, right? Some parents want to hide it. And some parents don't want it to ever go too far. You know, because at the end of the day, when a child psychologist goes and looks at this child and sees, ne, they will say that, yeah, every day the mother cries. Eh, because the father is there raping her. And this is the truth. Or the child is a psychopath or a sociopath. Yeah. And some children have disorders, right? Disorders that make them too unstable. I wouldn't want to use the term dangerous. I would say unpredictable and unstable to stay within community, right? And then they are sent to the hospital at psychiatric, right? There's a boy section and a girl section. And these children are sent there to psychiatric and they live there in the hospital. They have a normal life. Like, I know it's the saddest thing. It's the saddest thing. I was sitting there and I was observing them and it's the saddest thing. There's somebody that's 5, you know, they are babies, you know, there's somebody that's 10, you know, they are teenagers. Like, it's wild. There was one child that was, it's not, I wouldn't say going crazy. I would say that she was dealing with grief in a very, very bad way that, she would just check in and check out. And it's because her twin sister died. Her twin sister died and I think she was 12 or no, I think it's 12, 13, 14. She's still like a teenager, but her twin sister died. So like it has left like a hole inside her life so much so that she can't really function on the outside. So they just live at the hospital. The hospital is such an exciting place.
Exciting place.
Yeah. It's an exciting place to understand human behavior.
Oh.
It's to understand human behavior, to understand that if you ever in your life, right, if you ever want to understand that, it's not about problems or anything. If you ever want to understand that we are honestly here having a human experience and we are all living our own lives, go sit at psychiatric. Take your cool drink, take a juice, go and sit, go inside the hospital and go and sit just at the center there. What you will see in a day, right, will, you don't even have to go into the offices or nothing. What you will see in a day is something that will lift your spirit and would make you also appreciate your life and also see people for what they are. We are a very fragile species. We are very fragile beings, right? And to see this is something that is astonishing for me. Hello.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth. Good evening.
Good evening, Pops. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I've arrived. The program.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just would like to rebut on a few points that you guys raised.
No problem.
Yeah, actually, the consensual is there.
Okay.
I started my grade one, I mean, the kindergarten and the grade one at Leobot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you know why we were this young. I got this girl and we understood one another.
What grade was she?
Yeah, then. We were all in grade one.
Okay.
So we go in the bin, we do whatever we want to do. She went in the bin because she wanted that.
Okay.
Not that I forced her.
Yeah. So, because you guys are the same age. There's nobody that can force another person there.
Yeah. It's only that I can't remember the other caller who said that no, mm-hmm. these kids they are both doing that.
Yeah.
They all deserve to be beaten.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They all deserve to be beaten because they understand one another.
Mm.
Sometimes a girl's child is the one that might initiate that. Okay, you can put your kanyangira. Yes.
No, I hear that one. I hear that one, but our dynamics was with a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old.
10 years old and 7, there's no big difference there.
But
we are just talking about 3 years old.
Three years older.
It's a girl child.
So a ten-year-old is in grade 4.
Yes.
Yes, and a 7-year-old is in grade 2.
Grade 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or grade 1. Actually, no, grade 1.
Okay, yeah,
a 10-year-old is learning about the reproductive system.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-year-old has all the 10 commandments. A 10-year-old is taught right and wrong already. A 10-year-old is taught that don't touch my body, don't do this, don't do that. A 10-year-old is already taught violation and all of that. In this case, we go with age. And then we say that because this one is younger, right?
Yes.
You should have known better, you as the adult. Or you as, not the adult, but you as the bigger one. Now, what happens legally is not that the 10-year-old is going to jail, no. It's not that the 10-year-old is going to be punished, no. The only time that children are punished in any sense was, there was this particular case where a seven-year-old beat and killed another child intentionally. Yeah, yeah. You know, and that one was now also classified as a sociopath, a psychopath. The child was having a mental disorder of some sort.
Yeah, disorder,
yes, yeah. That made them incapable of seeing or feeling or understanding other people's hurt, and other people's hurt was pleasurable to them. Because a normal person, when somebody starts screaming when you set them on fire, you would know that it is bad because you feel bad because you know fire is hot, but they didn't. Yeah. You understand? So with children, it's not we are going to take this child and we are going to arrest this child because this child is still a child. There's a particular law in itself that protects these people. Right? Like under the Sex Act, right? Or under the sex principles that protects these people that do sexual deeds, right? When their ages are close to each other and they are minors. So it is more of a psychological thing. It is more of a, let's go to social workers. Let's go to a psychologist. Let's go to a psychiatrist and let's go and investigate exactly. What is happening. And then in that, right, you would have realized, that the girl that called you to the dustbin, it wasn't your advance. It wasn't you. It was the girl. The girl is the one that called you to the dustbin, and she's the one that told you to put your kanyengere here. Do you know why? Do you know why?
Okay, tell me why.
because she comes from a household where she sees it.
Ah, come on.
You
look, okay, let me just cut you short there.
Okay. Where were you staying? In the hostel?
I don't know. From our houses.
Were you staying there with your parents?
Yeah, we were there with our parents.
And you used to see sex?
She lives in a neighboring house and...
Did you used to see sex, you?
No.
Hey, so you knew that we ain't getting a wimpa. Did you know that?
Okay, wait. One thing that you have to understand is that sex is a natural thing.
Okay.
And no one supposed to be taught what sex is.
Okay.
Even look at these kids. The kids and the calves and what else. They mount one another. Where they taught? No. It just happens. It's something that happens automatically. It's actually part of the nature in us. You see? You can take a girl child and a boy child and then you take them to a certain island where there are no people. They will end up making love.
Okay.
Without being taught by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And actually the other part when you said that...
But exposure is very important.
Yeah. I do fully agree.
Exposure is very important because I can tell you now, right, that there are some children, because they grew up in very strict households, they learned about sex at school. Like for me, for example, we learn about sex at school, please, because there was no sex action happening in our house. There's no day that my mother's room is closed.
You learned sex at school?
I learned sex activities. The conversation about sex, right, was learned from education, from school. You understand? And from others, the conversations that are happening there, but it's not like I actually knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that part also. And, mm-hmm. and the other thing is that you mentioned something like the girl child is actually in a shock. What shows that the girl child is in a shock?
It's not.
Someone who is, mm-hmm. someone who is frankly smiling even. Like mm-hmm. someone who is happy, what, and yet at the end of the day, the kid is actually in a shock. What? These are things that are happening even nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you take your partner as big as we are.
Mm-hmm.
You bring your partner to your room.
Yeah.
And not to ruin your partner, but
your partner for the day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Point was said. Eh? And then at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
because you did not settle the bill, mm-hmm. It's a rape already.
But that one is prostitution. That one is prostitution disguised under rape. And that is why even the laws around rape of that nature have changed. Because you cannot put a case for rape for me inside, right? And go and withdraw it anymore. Now we must go to court and you must prove it. And in the event that I prove that I am innocent, right? Then you will face legal consequences as well. That is why that in particular has changed, because a lot of women were extorting men, right, on that premise.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
yeah,
these are controversial matters, man.
Mm, yeah.
These are things that are happening right now.
Yes.
I'm actually trying to pay up these things of kids. Mm. That in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this partner for the day that you brought in your room
mm.
that day.
Mm. No, the partner for the day, we understand that one. Now,
just hold on.
Okay.
It's a cross reference.
Okay.
But I'm trying to do here.
Yes.
Now this partner will not file a case saying that no, he did not give me my money, he did not do what.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
She will just say, he raped me.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the court of law,
mm-hmm.
yes, obviously you have to be prosecuted for that.
Yes, you have to be.
A girl child. Mm-hmm. I've seen this from, some elders in the village.
Yeah.
These boys are playing what. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
the girl child is actually well covered.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Your boy slept with my daughter. What?
Yes.
What if this daughter is the one that
is the instigator?
Mm.
Yes.
That's the thing now.
Mm-hmm. No, they are. Right? There are different scenarios where the woman is a perpetrator. That is why I keep saying, I think I've preached this, where I say that women are not innocent, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I preach this every single day that women are not innocent. Don't believe them. Eh? If she's crying, it's crocodile tears. Women are very much capable of that. If I can even put emphasis on it, ne? I can guarantee you that 80% of the Namibian men, including yourself, right? You guys lost your virginity to older girls. But what is that if not rape? You guys have all been raped.
You guys have literally all been raped,
but you guys don't see it as rape. You guys see it as a score. But the truth is that women violated you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women violated you. Many of you guys could say, yeah, me, I lost my virginity at 12, brah. Like, yeah, it was my auntie's friend. Your auntie that was 23.
Mm.
Her 23-year-old friend. Had sex with you while you were 12 and you are thinking, oh, brah, me, I lost my virginity, brah. No, you were raped.
Yeah,
The covering of the girl child is really there. The covering of the girl child is there because she has a vagina.
Okay, let me ask you a question again.
Yeah.
You are saying that, okay, the gentleman is 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, this girl is 19 or 20. So are you saying that this girl
mm-hmm.
raped the boy?
Yes.
Or why are you saying the boy was raped?
Because he is underage and he is not at any stage allowed to, he's not capable enough to consent for sex.
He wants that too. He wants the same thing. That's why.
But she's an adult. She should know that it is wrong to sleep with children.
Yes, we understand the fact that it's wrong to sleep with children.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways,
But it's the double standards because if the guy was older, and the girl is younger, then you wouldn't argue it like, ah, no, but she wanted it. And she also wanted it would be rape straight up. But because it's a boy child, he also wants. What makes you think he actually wants? Is it because he has an erection? Because you guys assume that a reaction is consent. And it's not consent. It is my body reacting to you touching me in an intimate way, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I want to do this.
You do want.
No, but, right? but have you ever had sex with somebody that wanyanyara?
Yeah, a bit slow. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want them.
Really?
But yeah, that's what I'm saying, that you don't want them, but you still have an erection. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
Exactly. So that is exactly what happens. I don't want this person, right? But the person is touching me intimately. And also, I am in my parents' house. My parents are in the room next door. If I scream right now, right? My father will come inside here and then he will think that I'm sleeping with a nanny.
So that means we must have certain elements, you know.
You guys have been raped, my friend.
Whenever we are defining the term rape. Right?
Yes, yes.
So we should remove that physical force element.
Yes. No. Actually, let's go to physical force, but after this advertisement break, please hold the line.
Save big at YouSave. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $189.99, 4 packets Knorr thickening soup, all variants, $24, 700 milliliters crystal gold tomato sauce, $24.99, 750 grams Nola mayonnaise, a baggin at just $27.99, 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, $14.99, and 3 kilo bag selected pasta polana, $74.99. You save as good as the best for less.
Good evening. Yes, you were talking about force, the element of force.
Yes.
Okay. The element of force when it comes to rape, my friend, is a definition for a specific activity. It is for a specific, for Eliza. The definition of force when it comes to rape, right? It's circumstantial to my circumstances. So if I'm in the bushes and then I get violently raped, then that means there is an element of force because there was violence. If I am molested, right? I am coerced into it. I am pinned down and I am violated and I'm a minor. I'm molested. You understand? Well, it doesn't mean it's not rape. It's still rape, but it is molestation. You understand it? And it might even be ongoing. Force in itself, right? Rape is not defined by force. Because rape can be done gently. Because I'm not fighting back. That is why married men are having a problem with that marital rape. Because his wife didn't scream. And he didn't beat his wife. And he didn't tear her clothes. Because all of us are expecting rape to be violent. We're expecting rape to be, have you ever seen, in our village, right? We had a number of people that, or women or young girls that have been sexually violated. They've been raped, right? Now, I think that this was such a bad form when I look at it now as an adult, but, it was more to show what a rape victim looks like. You see, victim shaming basically, but that's our society. So what happens is that you and the clothes that you were wearing when you were raped, right? You walk through Undingosh, right? Now, the clothes that you are wearing, one, they have blood.
Yeah.
Two, they are torn.
Yeah.
And three, you are ashy, shashonye mbuya kirikiti kirikiti mo mavi. Your hair is a mess. That's what a rape victim looks like. And I think that is what society said that a rape victim looks like. That is why we implement the analogy of force. We add force to the theory of rape. And that's why many of us don't understand what rape is, because, I mean, he didn't come from the bushes, eh? You were not wearing a miniskirt, and then he came to rip your miniskirt apart, and he beat you up, and then he raped you in the bushes there. It was not like that. It was just your brother's friend that just came to hold you on the mouth and did what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand. So rape in itself, rape is a sexual, rape is the act of a sexual penetration. Eh? Even you taking your finger and putting it inside my vagina, that's rape.
That's rape already.
Yes. Even you taking a broom and putting it there, that's rape. Even if you put it in my mouth, even if you put it in my anus, even if you put it in my vagina, that is rape.
Rape.
Yes, that is what rape is. It's performing, it's performing sexual activities on me where I don't clearly consent. Kuchahu, I also want to do this. Yeah? And I'm not volunteering myself, and I'm not having ongoing consent. Ongoing consent, ladies and gentlemen, because this is something that that we get wrong, especially as men, they get it wrong a lot. Ongoing consent, right, is when we have started the deed. It's to take off the clothes, is to penetrate, is to continue. Then there, at 1 minute and a half, I realize that I'm doing a mistake and I don't want to do this anymore.
And then there, continue.
And then, and then I say, please get off. And then you continue.
No, you can't say get off, man.
How can you say get off? We already started. Let me just finish. Right?
Yeah.
And then you have a problem with me going to make a case. But the thing is that I didn't have ongoing consent. I must have ongoing consent until we finish.
Throughout the
activity. There must not be a place where I now feel uncomfortable and I don't want to do this anymore. And you continue because you are hot and heavy. No.
So that means throughout the,
we must exercise together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So that means if there comes a point where you feel like, no, I don't
get off, man. I don't want anymore.
It's okay. Then if I continue from there, it's a rape already.
Yes.
But guys, we are moving away from our, Africanism.
How is that Africanism to, is it Africanism to be inside somebody's body that doesn't want you to be in their body?
No, bro.
Yeah.
We started something.
Yeah. Just because,
just
because you started something, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it has to be finished.
What?
Bro. You also started school and you drop out. What's your problem? Yeah? You also left school, Mama Kati. What's your problem? Yeah? You left that other job, Mama Kati. Yeah?
These are completely different from one another.
But they are not completely different. We want to make it completely different because we want to make it seem like here I can't and here I can. But the thing is that this is my body. I don't want this. And now you are telling me like, I am Marashino is different. Yeah, that other job, they were treating me bad. Yeah, I'm paining, huh? Okay, how? I don't want that.
I've had that also, I'm actually a teacher at one of the schools in Angola region.
Yeah.
And
children are very bad. Are you teaching high school?
Yeah.
Ugh, they are very bad. Are they wearing short skirts?
Yeah.
Especially the girls. They are very bad. Ugh, very, very bad. Ugh.
And I've had, apparently, this young one was raped when she was in grade 3 or 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But as we are speaking right now, that child has grown fond of that.
Yes. Yes, and that is exactly why we are talking about this topic. Do you know why we are talking about this topic? Because, right, we as a family, because it all starts with the family, we don't take care of our children in a sense of explaining to them that this that happened to them was wrong. It was bad. We are sorry that this happened. What we do, we pretend it never happened, and we pretend it never happened, and then the child thinks that it is absolutely okay and it's just sex. And that is why, ne, she can have sex with 100 people.
Wow.
Yes. And it's called, it's called sexually promiscuous behavior. Mm-hmm. Usually caused by sexual trauma.
So you define that as a sexual trauma?
Yes. Rape is sexual trauma. It's trauma. It's a traumatic experience that was sexual. So that is why, right? There are so many things that we can actually understand if we just start to pay attention to the world. That is why you can find, right, that there are, for example, you find this gaggle. You are almost teaching there at the schools. Do they cut hair or not?
Yeah, they do cut hair.
Oh, okay. So the girls are also bald. Now yakuru wakadona.
Yeah.
Everybody or yakuru wandishi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens, right? It could have gone two ways. With the rape survivor that we're talking about. It could have gone two ways. It could have gone that, okay, so she was, or three ways actually. She was sexually violated and then she grew sexually promiscuous and she's changing the men left, right and center, taganjara, dishing it out to everybody. Or she could have now become somebody that hates men and dates girls and now she's a lesbian.
So they can also result in that.
Yes, because now she can become a lesbian because she hates men. Because men are trash, because men did that, you know? And now she's a man herself. And she's going to be basically violating women, or she's going to be having a good relationship with a girl to show that women and woman love is better than that. Or it could be that she might actually just have a normal life, go on to get married, trust men, and literally just go about it depending on how the family handles it. So there are many ways where child sexual abuse, right, manifests itself in our lives later. It's just the same as a child that was abandoned by their father. And that's why we're telling you guys, ne, like at this our big age, we're telling you guys, please be there for us. Eh? You don't have to have money. Yeah. Especially the girl child. Please be there for us. You don't have to have money. Just see me now and then as your child that you had with your mistress. Ne? See me now and then. Visit me. Be there for my things. Because what happens is that I grow into a thing, or I have abandonment issues. I have abandonment issues from my father, and this is my dad. And what I now do is that every single man that I date must resemble my father in one way or another. And what way is that? I look for emotionally unavailable people or somebody that is unavailable in one way or another because my father has been what? Unavailable. So I must be re-tormented. I must relive and I must recreate that scenario of my childhood, right? In my normal dating life. And that's why you find women going through men, but the men that they choose, right? Have a certain characteristic, and sometimes we can point it out and sometimes we can't point it out. But for the most part, we can point it out that if you have been abandoned, the likelihood of you being attracted to people that will abandon you in one way or another, it's either financially or you're just attracted to broke guys.
Okay.
Or Shiri, like the guy with the money and stuff with the Benz, you don't want him. You want the guy that is selling omikakanua. We are struggling together. It's a hustle. You want that guy because you know that he's always going to abandon you financially. You date married men. Why? Because you didn't have a father. Why? Because you know that he will never fully be yours.
Yeah.
Nenge, you date.
Probably you feel secured.
You don't feel secured. Yeah. It's hell. You are just reliving your childhood every day with every relationship. Because every day you go through that same feeling of abandonment. Every time you are not even reassured that your person is going to be there. Eh? Because he's somebody else's person. And that's why you find them. You must ask one of your friends, because I'm sure you have friends and colleagues, ne? You must ask the one that is having a married guy. You must ask her, where's your father? Yeah, you must ask her. And if she says her mother and her father grew up together, then you must ask her what type of man was her father. Because in one way or another, her father has abandoned her. Eh? Because women are living in worlds where women are most paying for everything, and then they tell you it's your father that paid. But the children, but the children grow up to see kucha, ano tate nengu anwa afuto skora anje, anandonga kuthanje, ano where is he?
Where is he?
Exactly. So it really does. It psychology is beautiful. To be honest, psychology is beautiful. It explains. Yes, it explains so much about everybody. So in order to rehabilitate this child that is there at your school, right? You have to give her a sense of value, importance. You are a teacher. Are you one of the subject teachers? Do you give her anything?
Yeah, I give her.
Make her class captain.
Yeah.
Make her class captain. Yeah.
Hey.
Give her a role of leadership and importance. Wow. The problem is, don't let her be alone with you. Because if you let her be alone with you, then she will interpret it as you want her. Yes. Because in her mind, men will not be nice to you if they don't want sex from you. You understand? And that is why a lot of women right now, you guys would be surprised that out of every 10 women, eight women have been raped.
Wow.
It's only that we don't talk.
We don't talk about that.
Yes. So how you can do it is give her a sense of importance. Is she passing?
Not really.
Ashongoranga. Yeah. So give her a sense of importance. Kucha, this week, nenge this month of October, you know, on the 1st of October, Elizabeth is going to be class captain.
Yeah.
Elizabeth is the one that's going to be handing in, picking up all your books and all your stuff.
Collecting
books and collecting stuff. Elizabeth, I'm coming now. Write the names on the board. Yeah. Oh, and then you also say, thank you, Elizabeth. You know, when she gives your books back, you say thank you. Because this is most probably a thing that she has not experienced.
But is that not just attention? Like,
it's not necessarily attention if you're doing it with all the kids. You are building all their morale. Because people are coming from places where the only person that believes in them is their teacher. Teachers are very important.
Okay. Wow.
Very, very important. You know, my son was not reading.
My son was not
reading. Grade 1, grade 2, he was not reading. Vakwe. I moved him from school to school because it was just not happening and it was just not working. And then I took him to Heritage and I took him to teacher Mati's class. And that woman loved the child and gave the child motivation. Now my child is reading. My child is getting certificates in math and what. It's because the teacher is important. You don't see your importance, but your teacher is important.
So that means this young one, all what they want is just,
someone to believe in them.
Someone to believe in them.
Yes.
Someone that understands them, better.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Ask them all what they want to be. Ask them all what they want to be. And when someone laughs, Don't tell them that it's not funny. Everybody's dreams are valid. Those things will live. It might just seem like it's like, what do you mean, matriarch? Mara, it plants a seed of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it plants a seed of hope. You will see. You can even, to not make it too tedious and too long, you can make it, kucha, this week, Nerago is class captain. Next week, it's Ndapanda. Next week, it's Elizabeth. Then they all get chances of leadership.
That's the thing now.
Yes. They all get chances of leadership. They all get chances to be seen, chances to be heard, chances to be important. Eh? You encourage kucha. Oh, Nerago, your school skirt is very short, my girl. Don't you know, as a young and bright woman that you are, I think you should cover up. Because you are going to be the president one day. You put her in a position of not a prostitute, but a position of power, a position of elegance and respect. You say you are going to be the president one day. Can't you see me in a tumbo?
Yeah.
You see? Uh-huh. So that means, ne, I am seen as somebody that can actually be somebody.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, so back to these young ones that
fifitering each other.
But
So
that means if this girl child is to see the psychologist, the boy child must also see the psychologist.
No, they do see the psychologist, and, both of them.
We shouldn't reconsider them as so. We shouldn't reconsider the boy child as a
perpetrator.
As a perpetrator, no. Mm. Yes,
they are both victims.
They are both victims.
Victims of their surroundings.
And they did not see this to anyone. We can't say that.
Sometimes
I'm
they
you,
did.
I'm telling you.
Mm.
I've never seen.
Mm.
I've never seen people making love.
Yeah.
No. And I just started doing that on my own.
My dear, you were with an expert.
I didn't see anyone doing that.
You were with an expert.
What do you mean?
You were with someone that has seen it.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
So is it now applicable to all people?
Do you know that somebody that has not seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They usually, one, they put on the condom wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two, they don't know which hole is where. He basically has coitus with your thighs, and him he thinks he's inside.
Oh, that's very funny.
It's true. Yeah, my goodness, did you like that? And then you tell him, now at this point you are embarrassed to tell him that he didn't enter you. You're like, yeah.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, I did. It was so nice, really. Man, and I knew he didn't enter you nothing.
Yeah.
That is somebody that does not know. Yeah. Mara, somebody that has seen, he even sees where mother's legs are. Yeah. So there are spaces, right, where you are not taught and you just go and be naughty. That is also very possible.
Yes, it's also very possible. Yeah. It's not that the child has seen this.
Mm.
This is an inborn thing.
Sometimes.
Not really sometimes.
Let's agree to disagree on this one. Sometimes you didn't see anything. Sometimes that is just you wild child. And then sometimes you saw something and sometimes you experienced something. And let's just say all the activities, they are wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but look at this now.
Mm.
A boy child and a girl child, they are all
children.
They are all children.
Yes.
Okay, they are all 2 years or 3 years. And then from there, this boy child that recognizes that, no, also I've got this.
Yeah.
But this one doesn't have this.
Yeah.
So at that point now, this learners, I mean, these kids know the difference between them, themselves. And they, something is going on in their mind already.
Mm.
Yes. What if I put this one here?
With 2-year-olds, right? As Carl Jung was it Carl Jung? Yeah. So what happens in child psychology is that, from 2 years old until 4, the child starts noticing their private parts.
Yeah,
and their sexuality is developed within their mouths. Within their mouths. And that is why from 2 years old, right? They taste everything. And including sexual sensations are also brought up within the mouth and everything and all of that. And they are also very curious. So at that stage,
therefore they want to explore that.
It is curiosity. That one is pure curiosity. That's why they say that, when your children turn 2, don't bath in front of them.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't bath in front of them because she wants to see how yours looks like.
Yeah.
Or he wants to see how yours looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because these are private parts, right? And this is not something that he used to see all the time or he used to notice all of the time. And now he notices that mine is not the same as mommy's one. You know? Mine is outside. Mommy's one is not. Mommy's one is having hair. So they start to notice this thing.
Experiment everything.
Yes, because it's not really with 2 year olds, ne? You won't find them on top of each other. Not unless they have seen it, right? But what you will do is find them touching each other's things.
Touching one another.
Because just touching, no, don't make it like that. Touching each other's things. Like a girl child will touch. Okay, Pipi, come wow. Yeah, and the boy child will also touch there. Mm-hmm. Because it is different. It's not that's sex things, it's curiosity.
Curiosity.
Yes.
Hey, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I just wanted to emphasize that point.
Yeah.
That says that no, the girl child is actually in a shock.
No, but sometimes it is true that the girl child is also in shock, but also it is not only the girl child that's in shock. It's any person that is in a position of that. Because sometimes the person that is doing something to you, ne, on tila. That is why you can find, kucha, there have been boys that have been sodomized by uncles, by workers, by who. They're in their houses and they didn't say anything until death. You just see, okana, like even the way they grow up, right? They grow up very angry or aggressive or sometimes soft or whatever they grow up to be, right? Mm-hmm. And it is because whoever did it scared me.
So that means if are you saying that this young one, this girl child is scared?
I'm saying that sometimes what is happening to you is bigger than your brain can comprehend. And
you don't want to talk about that, you just have to let it go.
Sometimes your brain might even shut you out.
We see them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see them. We see them screaming and crying on social media.
Yes.
I know he raped me, what? Yes. Now I look at that as I always see it as a drama.
Mm. No, it looks dramatic to you because
what brings that pain?
Because eventually, right? I have had to live with it. Now I hate men and I don't even know why, and all my friends are getting married.
Oh.
And now I'm afraid for a man to touch me. Like andi nukara rera. And I just can't hold down a relationship. But it's because I didn't address that issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm still trying to comprehend. You know when some, okay, let me explain to you what happens to the brain or to the mind, ne? Mm-hmm. Okay. So sometimes you go through a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are strong enough, you go through it and you can see everything.
Yeah.
If you are strong enough or if your mind can digest what is happening. Right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you are not strong enough where the trauma and the pain is more than you can handle. You as Elizabeth can handle. You understand? So what your brain does is it shuts you out.
And then you keep quiet.
No. It shuts you out. It shuts you out. Like you, your conscious self, you're not there anymore.
Wow.
It's like you go to another place. Your body is there.
Yeah, the body is there,
but you are not there. And that's why sometimes you don't remember what happened. How do you not remember what happened? It's because you were not there. That one is called disassociation. When you disassociate. Now, if I can explain to you what disassociation is you getting into your car and driving. By the time you papuzuka, you are at the roadblock. But if I ask you right now, how did you drive and what did you see on the side of the road? You don't remember. Why? Because you were thinking other things. And that's disassociation. Because your body still just continues. Your body understands that if there's traffic that's coming, if there's what atu yandange, and we already know how to drive a car, it's routine. Right? And that is disassociation. Now that also happens in traumatic experiences where you can't understand this that is happening to you right now. So your brain shuts you out. And then there is also another aspect of trauma, right? When, or sexual violation, any trauma, where your brain either you go into flight mode is where you disassociate and you are not there anymore. And that's how, and that's how you don't remember exactly what happened.
That's the thing.
Yes. And then you go into fright mode. Fright mode is basically shock.
Mm-hmm.
You are so shocked. Have you ever been so shocked that you can't move?
But I remember, not really, but I remember last year.
Mm.
I was actually driving my car.
Yeah.
From Oshakati, and then I came to this Ongwediva roadblock.
Yeah.
I was actually angry at something, and I just forgot that we had a roadblock here.
Then you drove past it.
And then the police officer jumped in the road. I was actually driving 140 kilometers per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could not apply my, you know, I could not apply the brake.
Yeah.
And, you know, ABS system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then I dimmed the light. So I went a little bit and then I come back.
Mm.
I don't know. The police officer was asking me, do you know what you're doing?
Yeah. That is disassociation.
Hey.
So imagine when something traumatic is happening to you, right? Like you are, like if I ask you right now, okay, when you were driving, did you see that other man with the orange t-shirt? Did you see that other cow that was way, way, way? You don't remember anything. And that is the same.
That's the thing.
And that is the same with traumatic experiences. And then there's also like the shock mode is when you are so shocked your body is frozen that you want to move. You want to scream, but you can't. It's like when, it's like Topondako Shiruri. You have heard about people saying that I couldn't move and I couldn't scream. Ondari kupampa zaro shirine tandivuruar. That is shock. Yeah, and that can also happen to you when something bad is happening to you. You are so shocked you can't move. There's flight, fright, and then there's fright mode where you are so scared that maybe you run away, or there's a little bit of mobility there, or you try and neutralize the situation by dimming yourself. Like if you have a parent that is violent and when they are drunk all the time. When fright mode would be your parent coming into the house, and because you know that your parent likes it when you have cleaned the dishes and the dinner is already on the table, so you do those things to minimize the situation.
Okay.
So that's what happens within trauma and within our existence. So that is why some people are crying at 35, because what happens is that your mind blocked out this memory from 6 years older. And then all of a sudden at 32, now your mind decides that you are actually old enough to deal with this thing, man. And then you start seeing it and you start experiencing it.
Now you are playing movies here.
You literally now the thing is playing a movie, and then you're like, man, I don't know if I'm dreaming or if it's real. And then you're like, but I remember. And that's why they always go back to their families and go and ask, because nobody talked about it my whole life. It happened when I was 3 years old and nobody talked about it my whole life, but it's affecting my whole entire life. Right? Mm-hmm. Because your body keeps count. Every single thing that has happened to your body writes it down. Your body knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I'm here at 32 and I'm having flashes of Uncle Eddie, Uncle Eddie that did something like this. And then now you go back, which I don't understand, man. Like all of a sudden now, I just feel like I hate Uncle Eddie. Yeah. Wow. All of a sudden, I just feel like I've been having this dream. Yeah. My dear. Somebody is playing with me. I just keep seeing my uncle doing this and what. You understand? Mara, then your mother says, kuchayo, Oshima, shonoshonare. That's when you click, kucha. So it did happen. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. It did happen. Ay, Oshima, shonoshonare. Oshasha, epeninga, we unomvura ambario, we unakushidimba. You understand.
Okay, now, what is your stance now on that? What are you saying on that now? Something that happened, let me say, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But
it is really normal for the person to go to social media, to meet different media houses and start crying. Yeah? Many, many dramas.
No. That's the thing. That one, what you're doing is victim shaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's victim shaming. You're shaming the victim for expressing her experience. You are basically telling her that it's not normal, man. It's 25 years ago. Leave it. Eh? But it's not your body.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, it's not your mind. It's not your experience. What is happening right now is that she's coming out the best way that gives her comfort, because there's not much she can, if it happened 25 years ago, Uchanga, even if she takes it to the police, right? It has already expired, because those cases, right? They last for 20 years. If somebody violates you, you can report them within the next 20 years, because that's how long it takes, ne, for victims to actually come out and you can get justice.
Where we don't have any evidence for that.
Oh, you might say you don't have any evidence, right? Until Nani Ngutandi accusinga, right? Is a whole born again somebody and took an oath to never lie. Then we go to court there and then he said, no, I really did it.
Oh, right.
And then I get my justice. So we are innocent most until proven guilty.
So because I'm a born again, I...
No. That's the thing. Pamwe, nangwe mwenene, you are also just going through your own term oil there.
Guilty.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
So you decide to tell the truth, but no, I did it.
Yeah. It depends on how you view it, because some people don't even know that what they did is rape.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's weird, because me and you, we understand it, and you're like, what? You don't know that one is not, that it's not consensual. Some people say, kucha, yeah, but she wanted it. You know? And there are people that don't understand that what they did is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why justice is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you think now? What can we do now to subdue these issues of kids raping one another and elders raping one another?
With the elders. With the elders. Oh God, that one is something that I have to see. But okay, what I can say about the children, right? It's not necessarily about children raping one another. What I want is for us to stop pretending like things didn't happen, so that we won't have 35-year-olds on social media expressing themselves, right? Because nobody wanted to tell them what was happening, and nobody was open enough with them to say that, yes, this is what happened to you, and this is it. So what I would like is for us to talk, man, especially as black people. We need to talk and tell our people that this that happened to you is not your fault. And it was wrong. Because sometimes, right, you go through life thinking that this is absolutely correct. And that's why you can now sleep with 200 men and think that sex is an absolutely normal thing. Because, it's just a normal thing. And that's why you don't value yourself, because somebody else took it from you. And that's why you start devaluing yourself, which I'm just a thing that people can just come and take things from.
So
if we talk about it, especially as parents, if we talk about it, kucha, honey, I understand that this happened to you, and you are allowed to feel your feelings, especially for close relatives. You guys, many of us want to shut down the issue completely, right? And put it and sweep it under the rug. But what happens is that if I had a close bond with somebody that was hurting me, It doesn't take away from, I don't automatically hate him.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand what happened. Cause I'm a child, right? I don't understand what happened. So sometimes, ne, I will say things like, I miss uncle. And you will be upset because you know as an adult what uncle did.
Mm.
And sometimes me and uncle used to play our games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to play our games, and he used to buy me a mota, and he used to buy me nice food, and he used to buy me a mota, just practice, sipampanongu ka sipempe, you know? I'm joking. But but me as a child that doesn't fully comprehend what has happened to me, I will say something, while I'm playing, I'll say something like, oh, Uncle Nilifa, I miss Uncle Nilifa. When is Uncle Nilifa coming to visit us? right? And that's now where parents, right? Parents are the part, that's the part where they beat you for missing someone. For missing someone that hurt you. But what they don't realize is that you don't understand.
So
what we need to do is we need to say that Uncle Nilifa did a bad thing to you. And that is why Uncle Nilifa is not allowed to come back here and do that bad thing to you anymore. This thing that he did to you is not something that is supposed to be done to children.
So that's what we need to tell our kids now.
We need to tell our kids this so that they can process everything so that our children don't become harlots later. Or our children learn to cope with something that has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because your body keeps count. Your body keeps score. Mm-hmm. Everything that has happened to your body, it manifests itself. It manifests itself. Stress equals to headache.
Yeah. But why? Why is it like this? Now, these people that do dramas at the age of 35 now, crying, what, are the very same people that are not yet married.
Mm. But it explains it.
Someone who doesn't have a boyfriend.
It explains it.
And there, the person goes to meet different media houses, crying, I was raped, and this one, and this, and that, and that.
Yeah.
But you don't have... What if, but always the married ones don't play such dramas.
The married ones don't play such dramas because the married ones are told to keep quiet. The married ones are there at the police station. They just don't come. Do you know how many female listeners I have? I have so many female listeners. So many. Yes. So many. But do you hear them here? Yeah. You don't hear them here.
No.
Why? Because they are married.
They are married.
Hey. So every time I bring up a topic, they're all listening. And then they're there in the DM saying, she wait up a pimpia pasane, shiri, yes. I'm like, I don't want to hear your things here in the DMs. It's because married women, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have more to lose. And also don't forget, don't forget that we are already ashamed. We are ashamed of being done something like that. It's like,
so therefore you will employ some you would rather
sit there and pretend it never happened to you.
Some defensive mechanisms.
Yeah. The ones that are not married and the ones that are not in relationships and the ones that are speaking out, right? It's because of this particular thing that it might have affected her love life.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, right? And also this is an important point. Some people just heal different.
It could be different.
Yeah, Luca, heal different.
Yeah,
some people, maybe the married woman that has been raped, right? The way she viewed it and understood it, right? It helped her heal fast. It could be manifesting itself in her marriage. Maybe she's very insecure with her husband.
Yeah.
Maybe she's very cautious with her husband. Or maybe her husband is not even getting patapata. There are people that are in sexless marriages. It's true, but they are addressing couple goals.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it could be that she might even be a sex addict.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You understand. So it's not to say that the single ones are more verbal and the married ones are not verbal. It's only that also what marriage constitutes in our country, no heavy there too, we are told to keep quiet. Don't embarrass others.
Now, if you have to go home. If you are not married, then.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you want, now that's when you want to open up.
No,
I think that way you are exposing yourself.
Yeah, but exposing myself, but it's that thought in itself, right?
Which one is better than other day?
No. Look, it's that thought in itself, right? that makes people not want to come out because of that thought that you have, which I, you are exposing yourself. I'm exposing myself to what? To being violated? Is being violated something shameful?
It would be shameful.
Why is it shameful? Why is it shameful? I did nothing wrong.
Okay.
It goes back to that one. It goes back to the fact that we victim blame and we victim shame because I did nothing, but yet you are telling me I must keep quiet about this shameful thing that happened to me.
You slept with someone.
I didn't sleep with anyone. I was raped.
Okay, no problem.
You see? Then, you see the psychology behind it.
Okay, and then you go to this social media.
It was not consensual.
And the media houses, and then you tell the people that no.
It was not consensual. I didn't want
and
it.
And then tomorrow, you want to go to Venel Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there we see you walking with your, you know, big bud.
Yes.
While you were just playing dramas here.
I was not playing dramas. Don't you think
even some guys who won't even attempt to propose you?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Nobody wants a guy that thinks like that anyways. Because that's what we're talking about. Because at the end of the day, we as people, right, we want to blame victims. I was in my house, eh? And he broke in and came to rape me. Eh? No, I'm just saying, like, any story in this world, right, where we define rape, right, doesn't justify another person to rape you. You are not allowed to do that. So at the end of the day, at the end of the day, right, I should not be ashamed. It's like you saying, right, I must not tell people that my cousin killed my mother.
Okay.
I must be ashamed that my cousin is capable of killing my mother. It is the same. It's that shame that we are walking away from because that is something that is culturally imprinted in us. Kuchana tu sikirire. Pefe, we are going to stigmatize the victim. The victim, we are going to make her feel so bad and dirty for something that has happened to her that she did not call or summon. And she does not deserve it. And that's why you would think that, yeah, some men will run away from you, Shashino, or Akwato Nkonga. But nobody wants men that will run away from you because of Akwato Nkonga. Because we want a man that can understand that I didn't go looking for this. Because if I went looking for this, it wouldn't be rape. It would be sex.
Wow.
Sex.
So that means you are saying that people should open up and talk about that.
People should open up and talk about it so that they can heal. Because you guys are finding women that are beating out your windows and stuff like that. You guys are having violent women. Why? You guys are having non-maternal women in your society and you guys are not worried. Why are you guys not worried about women that can throw babies in the toilet then?
Yeah.
Where do you think all these things come from? It comes from the social ills that are imposed on us as human beings. We should be more attentive to the things that are being done by women. Because at the end of the day, right, if we are attentive and we change the narrative, then maybe we can have a country with women that are actually good women.
Wow. I like that point.
But anyways, let's talk tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Ciao, ciao. All right, my beloveds, I think we crossed our time. Eh, Hileni must not kill us. We crossed our time, but nonetheless, this was a very good conversation for us to have. I loved this conversation and we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll continue it. Maybe we won't, but maybe just maybe on Talk Therapy, this is where we talk about everything that pulls heartstrings.